Nothing but fire. Time for the hottest pregame show in minor league baseball. It's the Air Show with Michael Mark Antonini and Ray. Let's send it down to the field for today's show.
Hey, what's going on, Ironbirds fans? It's great to be back here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium as we get you set for Game 1 of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Hickory Crawdads. Michael Mark Antonini down with you alongside Ray Atkinson. Well, Ray, it's only been 2 weeks since we were here, but it feels like it's been a month. How you doing, my man?
Only 2 weeks? Only 2 weeks, you say? Now, I was here actually last week for a Mind Over Matters event that Harford County Public Schools was running. It was a really good time here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. And, yeah, even if the Ironbirds are not playing, there's events happening here all the time. So it's been 2 weeks for you, 1 week for me.
Well, the Birds are coming off a 12-game road trip up in the Empire State, so we'll do a quick recap of that. The Birds are going for their third straight win tonight, so we hope the winning ways continue. But, Ray, 12 straight on the road. It started with six at Hudson Valley and then six more at Brooklyn last week. And the Ironbirds played some pretty good ball on the road. They split both series, so two splits out of the 12 games. They went 6-6 against the Renegades and the Cyclones. But, Ray, they put up a ton of runs, and they won a couple of games over their last three games of that road trip at Brooklyn. Get a load of these numbers, Ray. 15 extra base hits, including five home runs in the last three games of that road series at Brooklyn. A season-high 14 runs on 18 hits in Saturday night's win. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, you missed something on Saturday because they were putting up some crooked numbers on the board. It's quite amazing. I don't even think that our scoreboard can accommodate double digits in an inning, so we'll see exactly what the Ironbirds can do tonight. They had an off day yesterday after a 12-game road trip, and there's going to be a nice six-game homestand here. Settle in, Ironbirds fans.
So a lot went down on that road trip, the 12-gamer, including a big promotion. So Matthew Etzel is no longer in town because he received a promotion to Double-A Bowie, 10th-round draft pick last year, and is making his Double-A debut tonight in Harrisburg less than a year after he was drafted. So congrats to Matthew Etzel. Man, did he put up big numbers here in Aberdeen.
It was a well-deserved promotion for Matthew Etzel. We are going to miss him dearly here in Aberdeen. He was quite fun to watch, and also really good to talk to.
Yeah, a lot of guys performing, though, for this Ironbirds team right now, up and down the lineup, getting contributions. I want to spotlight Douglas Hodo III tonight, and Hodo's doing a lot of big things for this Ironbirds team this season, and specifically over his last 15 games, Doug's hitting .280 with an .819 OPS. He has 4 extra base hits, 5 RBIs, and 7 stolen bases in that span, Ray. He went on a 7-game hitting streak from May 18th through May 29th, and in the Brooklyn series alone, he hit a homer and drove in 3 runs. So there's a guy who's heating up at the right time when the weather's getting warmer, and he's really helping out this team.
You say the weather's getting warmer, I wouldn't say tonight. But yeah, Douglas Hodo, throughout the month of May, an unsung hero for the Ironbirds, as there were a lot of Ironbirds that were putting up some numbers in May, and especially Douglas Hodo was putting up some quiet numbers, and as we did, we had to spotlight him because it was fantastic, and he is very fun to watch.
And we'll continue the player spotlights throughout the week. But, Ray, before we wrap up this air show, tell the people what's going on at the ballpark this week because we've got a lot going on. Take it away, my man.
Oh, there is a lot going on indeed here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. How are we doing tonight? All right, I'm definitely loving that enthusiasm. Ferris is into it. Yeah, we've got a wonderful series lined up for you here. I especially mentioned it earlier in the pregame show. This weekend, June 14th through the 16th, there's going to be 2 fireworks nights in a row, Military Appreciation Night on Friday, and then Saturday is Marvel's Defenders of the Diamond. And don't forget, that's Sunday, Father's Day. Kids run the bases and dads run the bases. And you get a pregame catch on the field. What more can you ask for? I can think of no better way to spend Father's Day than here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Get your tickets at GoIronBirds.com. But we got a game tonight for you folks. You're going to enjoy every single minute of it.
All right, Ray, appreciate you hyping up the crowd as always. That'll do it for another edition of the Air Show. Nice night for a ball game. Game 1 of 6 between the Birds and the Crawdads. That's coming up at 7:05. He's Ray Atkinson. I'm Michael Marcantonini. That's a wrap. Let's have some fun, Ironbirds fans. And as always,
let's fly. Attention to the pitcher's mound for tonight's ceremonial first pitch. We'd like to welcome Jeremiah Hartman to the field. Jeremiah has been in law enforcement for 10 years and is currently a corporal in the Harford County Sheriff's Office Domestic Violence Unit. Jeremiah, it's your pitch. That's the old pepper. That was a great one. Strike across the plate. But a pass ball on Ferris. Jeremiah, fantastic work.
It's another beautiful night for a ball game here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set for the opener of a six-game set between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Hickory Crawdads. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Marcantonini, the voice of the Ironbirds, live from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Well, it's been a while, Ironbirds fans, since I've been on the headset here. Over 2 weeks since the Ironbirds were last at home in the end of May, so we are home for the first time in June as the Ironbirds looked for their third straight win tonight against the Crawdads. The Crawdads, the high A affiliate of the Texas Rangers, in town for the first and only time this season. And the Birds looking to continue playing some good baseball. The Ironbirds are 29-28 overall, just three games out of first place with nine left to play in the first half. North Division all bunched up, not so much in the South Division, where the Hickory Crawdads sit at 25-32. They are tied for fourth in the Southern Division, and they are seven games out of first place. So their playoff hopes in the first half looking slim. The Ironbirds still very much in the thick of things, and a win tonight and a lot of wins this series would help that cause for sure. Well, before we get you the starting lineups and the pitching matchup for tonight's game, I am going to play a pregame interview that I recorded with Ironbirds fundamentals coach Charles Bolden. Charles is in his first season in the Orioles organization, former D3 collegiate head coach. He has done a lot of really good things, especially helping out the Ironbirds on the base paths this season here in Aberdeen. So we'll talk to Ironbirds fundamentals coach and first base coach Charles Bolden, and then after that, get you the starting lineups and the pitching matchup. So here is part one of a two-part interview with Charles Bolden. Hope you guys enjoy it. Lineups and pitching matchup after this. Michael Marcantonini here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. I've got Ironbirds fundamentals coach Charles Bolden joining me. Charles, thanks for doing this, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate you.
You're in your first year with the Orioles organization after a long run coaching college baseball. You're the fundamentals coach here in Aberdeen. How's your experience been so far?
Oh, it's been amazing. Dealing with the players, they're the best part of this. Been able to interact with them, understand their story, who they are, where they come from, has really been something for me that I look forward to every day, just constant laughter, just having a good time and just trying to get better every day.
You've been at a few different spots in college baseball, but you're here after 3 years as the head baseball coach at Division III Wisconsin-Eau Claire. How did you end up with the Orioles organization?
Great question. So, for me, college, the challenge of that was kind of done, and I was looking for something else. So I wanted to get into pro ball. I initially went to scout school. I kind of wanted to take a step away from the coaching and see it through a different lens, but I went to scout school in Arizona. I was fortunate enough to win the best male scout there at that event for the pipeline program for MLB. I got a call from a few different teams, but the Orioles stood out. Matt Blood stood out with his persistence, for him identifying the attributes that I could blend with the organization and their overall beliefs. I couldn't say no. I talked to about six people in 10 hours. So the way he approached it and attacked it was right up my alley with the energy and the passion that I have. As I got it reciprocated from him, and it was a great fit.
One of the big impacts that you've had here with the Ironbirds so far is the base running. Not just stolen bases, but picking up extra bases, which has led to a lot of runs for this team grinding out wins. Your teams at Wisconsin-Eau Claire and then Illinois Tech before that set stolen base records under your leadership. How did you help make that happen there?
Yeah, it's a group effort, from the players, from the other coaches. It takes everybody, but I think overall it's a mindset. Getting yourself in a position where you're thinking and make the defense be perfect, as far as how they play against you. And we want to be the aggressor. We want to take charge. We want to step our foot on the gas and force the team to react to us. But really just the mindset of, we go out, we play hard, and when you do that, good things happen.
What techniques or philosophies or even what mindset have you brought to this Ironbirds team from your previous career stops?
Yeah, so a lot of it is just movement and rhythm. It's like a dance, with the pitcher. It's no different when you're in the batter's box. It's no different when you're on the mound pitching. It's no different with the outfielders, with the infielders. You'll see their pre-pitch step. It's all about gaining momentum, force, and trying to create that power to go to the next base. And we do a lot of talking about that, just constantly keeping our feet moving on the balls of our feet, being athletic, being athletes, and being ready to just, not react. We want to already have it in our head already to what we're going to do, and we want to just do it. We don't want to be a play behind. We want to be a play ahead.
One thing that I've noticed here for the Ironbirds home games is that pretty much every time we've got a guy on first base, after every pitch, you're in whoever's on first base's ear telling them something. So what are you usually talking to your guys about on first base?
A lot of it is what I'm seeing from the pitcher. So videos, you know, and statistical data tell a lot. But a lot of times when you get into games, the other team, they make adjustments too. So we want to be able to make adjustments as well. It may be things that we pick up with tendencies that I may see, that I may give them. It could be time. Sometimes it could be a time and a joke to keep the mood light. But just something always to let them know, you know, hey, we need to always think about, you know, going back to that aggressive mentality. We want to be the aggressor. We want to take the next base. So just things like that.
What feedback have you received from the players in terms of base running? Obviously, you're the coach, you know, giving them advice and suggestions. What have they talked to you about?
Well, they're the most important part to this. You know, their feedback is what I kind of go off of, talking with them. And it's a collaboration. It's a group effort. You know, so we talk about it. You know, obviously with our results, that helps. When people see results, it's a lot easier to get the buy-in. But just overall, you know, what we pick up, they pick up a lot of things too. You know, we do videos before the game starts. And then, you know, we'll show them different things and they'll pick up things sometimes that I'm, you know, might not have noticed as a big characteristic, and they'll see it. So getting the feedback from them is super important. We kind of go off each other.
Michael Marcantonini back here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Well, there's part one of my two-part conversation with Ironbirds fundamentals coach and first base coach Charles Bolden. It was really fun to talk to Charles, a guy who has been in the game for a while. A little bit of an unconventional background for somebody who's now coaching in professional baseball. Well, he'll hear more about that in part two of that interview, which I will play, and then I'll eventually upload the full interview to YouTube. So that's going to be a really fun one to hear in totality. But before we go any further tonight with the starting lineups and the pitching matchup, we are going to pause for the national anthem here in Aberdeen. So I'll let you listen to it on the crowd mic, and when we come back, get you the final details for tonight's game. We are just about set for baseball here in Aberdeen as the Ironbirds welcome in the Hickory Crawdads for the first and only time this season. The Crawdads, the High A affiliate of the Texas Rangers. The Birds had a rough go of it against Hickory last season. The Crawdads swept the Ironbirds in six games in early August. But two very different teams this year. We'll see what happens as the Birds have taken the field, and we are just about set to go. We'll get you the starting lineups and the pitching matchup now. Well, right-hander Preston Johnson gets the ball for the Ironbirds tonight. He is ready to start his warm-up tosses. He'll go up against a right-hander for Hickory, DJ McCarty. So Johnson going against McCarty tonight. And we'll start with the Ironbirds lineup. So here is what Ironbirds manager Felipe Alou Jr. is running out tonight against the Dads. Leading off in center field, it's Enrique Bradfield Jr. batting second. The right fielder, Tavian Josenberger. Elio Prado is the designated hitter. He bats third. Creed Willems, the catcher, bats fourth. Carter Young is over at third base. He's in the five hole. Douglas Hodo, the third, is in left field batting sixth. Jalen Vasquez is the shortstop. He bats seventh. Maxwell Costas, the first baseman, is in the eight hole. And rounding out the lineup, it's the second baseman, Noelbert Romero, batting ninth. So one more time, 1-9 for the Ironbirds. It's Bradfield, Josenberger, Prado, Willems, Young, Hodo, Vasquez, Costas, Romero. And then on the flip side for the Hickory Crawdads, managed by Chad Comer, the reigning SAL Manager of the Year. Here's how they'll line up. Alejandro Ozuna is the left fielder. He's in the leadoff spot. Cam Cauley is the second baseman. He bats second. Jason Morabell is the right fielder in the three-hole. Sebastian Walcott, the Rangers' number one prospect, is at shortstop batting fourth. Luis Mieses is the first baseman in the five spot. Ian Moeller, the catcher, bats sixth. Anthony Gutierrez, the center fielder, is in the seven-hole. Quincy Scott, the designated hitter, bats eighth. And rounding out the lineup batting ninth, it's the third baseman, Ben Blackwell. So one more time, one through nine for Hickory. It's Ozuna, Cauley, Morabell, Walcott, Mieses, Moeller, Gutierrez, Scott, Blackwell. Well, the Ironbirds wearing their home white tops and bottoms with light blue on the sleeves tonight, and Ironbirds written across the chest in cursive lettering and orange lettering with the blue numbers on the back. On the flip side, Hickory rocking the black tops and gray bottoms with dads written across the chest for crawdads. Nice night for a ball game. A little bit cool for mid-June, but again, a nice night to play some baseball here in Aberdeen. Well, Preston Johnson is ready to go. The Ironbirds are back at home for the first time in just over 2 weeks, and they are looking for their third straight win. So here's Preston Johnson in his third start of the season. First pitch misses outside, counts 1-0. Johnson is 6 feet 4 inches tall. He's 24 years old in his second pro season. Missed all of last year with an injury, and he's been pretty solid this year for the Birds. Second pitch of the night. Flipped in the air left field. Here's Hodo coming in, and he makes the catch. Two pitches, one out for Preston Johnson. That brings up Cam Cauley. Well, didn't have a chance to so far in the broadcast, but I've got to introduce not only my guest for tonight, but a returning guest, a friend of the broadcast, my man Seth Chasen. Seth, thanks for joining me tonight on the broadcast, man.
Hey, man, it's all my pleasure. I'm glad to be back, and you know I've been blowing up your phone to try to get back on.
Hey, man, we were trying to work out a date for you to get back in here, and, you know, we're talking about last homestand, it didn't work out with just the scheduling, but it's great to have you back here. Always good to have somebody in for the series opener to have somebody to go back and forth with as Cam Cauley takes a ball high. The count is 1-0. No score, top of the first inning here, Ironbirds and Crawdads. Got Seth Chasen in the booth with me tonight. Seth calls games and does a radio show over at Harford Community College. Is doing some awesome broadcast stuff over there. Was with me on the broadcast twice last season. As this ball is lined to left, that's down for a knock. Could be extra bases. Cauley around first, heading for second, and he pulls in there with a one-out double. So runner at second with one down. And that brings up Jason Morabell, the right fielder, left-handed swinger. Number 13 on the Rangers' top 30 prospect list, according to MLBPipeline.com. So Cauley with the double, and he is in scoring position for Morabell. Johnson's a five-pitch pitcher. He's got a four-seam fastball and a cutter, and then the off-speed stuff, change-up, curveball, sweeper. He sits 91 to 93, and he's topped out at 94. Tall right-hander looks out at second. Short lead for Cauley. Pitch to the plate. Off the end of the bat, over the second baseman Romero's head into right center. And the Crawdads are going to take a 1-0 lead on the RBI single from Jason Morabell. Cauley in to score easily from second. And just like that, it's 1-0 Crawdads. All right, Seth, you got to go.
Well, last year we had some good luck, but I believe in the boys. They'll come back.
You were here for a walk-off win last year.
I was, right? I want to say it was Creed.
Okay.
I think it was Creed.
10 walk-off wins for the Ironbirds last season in 66 home games. That's a pretty good ratio.
Oh, yeah. To be here for one of them is pretty nice, but there's nothing you could do about that last hit there. Just beautifully off the end of the bat and right into the gap, into the outfield, and brought in that run.
Yeah, not hard off the bat at all of Morabell. Sebastian Walcott, the Rangers' number one prospect, takes high and away. And the count is quickly 1-0. The score is quickly 1-0 with the Crawdads in front, three batters into the game. Johnson out of the stretch. Long pause there as he holds a glove at the belt. Short lead at first for the runner, Morabell. Breaking ball in for a strike. Good-looking curveball there from Johnson. And he evens the count up at 1-1. Well, Walcott, the Rangers' number one prospect. There are eight Rangers' top 30 prospects on this current Crawdads roster, including two top five and five top 15 guys.
Just goes to show how good the Rangers as well have been very good at drafting and bringing in young talent and taking a page out of the Orioles book, per se.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, between these two farm systems, you got two top 10 farm systems. The Rangers farm system ranked by MLB Pipeline as the seventh best in the sport. Of course, the Orioles number one. But both of these teams were in the top 10 last year as well. A lot of talent coming through the pipeline. Counts 1-2 on Walcott, the cleanup hitter. Next pitch, breaking ball off the plate. It's 2-2. And there are some scouts out there that think that Walcott could be the best player ever signed out of the Bahamas. He's a native of the Bahamas and signed for over $3 million last year. He had the sixth highest bonus in the international signing class of 2023. Finished last season with Hickory and started the year there as he takes a ball outside, counts full. But that's pretty high praise. I mean, talk about guys that have come out of the Bahamas. There's not a ton, but Jazz Chisholm, who is a star for the Miami Marlins, is one of them.
I was going to ask you, do you have any figures on that to see how many there were coming out of the Bahamas?
Got to work on that as the week goes on for sure. 3-2, instead of throw over to first, and Morabell is back with a dive. 1-0 Hickory on the RBI single from Jason Morabell, three batters into the game. A run on two hits, a Cauley double, and then the Morabell single. Long pause for Johnson. Look over his shoulder. Runner goes 3-2, swing and a miss. Here's the throwdown from Willems. Right on the money. The tag is on the money as well. And it's a strike him out, throw him out, double play to end the top of the first. Johnson picks up his first strikeout. Willems helps him out with a seed to second. And the inning is over. The Crawdads grab a run on two hits, but that is it. The strike him out, throw him out, double play ends the threat. And after a half inning of play, it's Hickory 1. With the Birds coming to bat, we'll see if they can feed off that momentum and get some runs when we go to the bottom half on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Michael Mark Cantonini and Seth Chasen back with you on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. 1-0 Hickory over Aberdeen after a half inning of play. Preston Johnson limited the damage, picked up a strike him out, throw him out, double play to end the top half. And here in the bottom half, the Iron Birds will send up Enrique Bradfield Jr., Tavian Josenberger, and Elio Prado to greet right-hander DJ McCarty for the Crawdads. Glove over his head and out of the windup. First pitch misses high to Bradfield, and the count is 1-0. 6'2 righty on the mound, McCarty just 21 years old. He was drafted out of high school a few years back, now in his fourth pro season. Bradfield pops one up to the left side of the diamond on the infield, and it's the third baseman Blackwell that makes the catch. One up, one down on a couple of pitches. And that brings up Tavian Josenberger. Well, Seth, we saw that strike him out, throw him out, double play to end the last half inning, and that was a perfect throw from Creed Willems down to second.
Oh, yeah, like you said, right on the money and, you know, and with plenty of time to, if you know something had happened with the dropping of the ball,
right.
Had plenty of time to recover, but no recovery needed, as it was a perfect throw.
Yeah, Josenberger takes a strike, counts 0-1, and I thought that Morabell had a pretty decent jump, but like you said, there was plenty of time had, you know, the throw not been on the money or, you know, it had been dropped or something, but, I mean, he was out by a full stride length. Obviously, it was a head-first slide, but in terms of distance, it was about a stride length of how far he was out by.
Yeah, perfect throw, and as we hopped off the broadcast there, it's a perfect way to end the inning.
Yeah, and Johnson, who gave up the hard-hit double, and then kind of that bloop single that led to the run, you know, needed a way to get out of that inning quickly, and he got it.
And I'm sure that boosts the confidence.
Absolutely, and he, of course, picks up his first strikeout of the night as well. Counts 2-2 on Josenberger. Ninth game, seventh start of the season for McCarty. He made his first two appearances out of the bullpen. He's started ever since, and now it's 3-2. A 4.18 ERA in 28 innings of work, 30 strikeouts, 14 walks. Striking out just under 10 batters per nine, but he's walking almost 5 per nine. 3-2, Josenberger lifts one to deep right center field. Morabell goes back on it, and he makes the catch in the alley. So two up, two down. Let's set the defense for Hickory. Ian Moeller is behind home plate. Ben Blackwell's over at third base with Sebastian Walcott at shortstop. Cam Cauley's playing second base with Luis Miesis at first. In the outfield, Alejandro Ozuna in left, Anthony Gutierrez in center, and Jason Morabell in right. Two gone and no one on. A pop out and a fly out. Here's Elio Prado. First pitch, breaking ball in for a strike. And a lot of early swings, but both teams, looks like the scouting report is to hack early. Of course, Prado's taken two in a row, just as I mentioned that. But
he's been very patient so far and is waiting for his pitch, and I think that's, you know, only thing you can do is...
He takes another one, fastball in the outside corner. So the count's 1-2. Well, now he's going to have to swing. Prado last played on Saturday at Brooklyn, went 2-for-5 with a triple. Pitch misses outside. Looked like he got quick pitched there. That was a quick offering to the plate from McCarty.
Definitely had some gas on it.
Well, he's definitely pumping it in there. 2-2, chopper back to him. Nice snag behind his right shoulder. Flips to first, and the inning is over. Fielding his position well, McCarty makes the play, and he has a 1-2-3 bottom of the first. So after a full inning of play here in the Dean, it's 1-0 Hickory. We'll head to the top of the second after this quick break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the second inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. 1-0 Hickory over Aberdeen in game one of a six-game series. The Crawdads in town for the first and only time this season. These two teams going at it after Hickory swept Aberdeen in early August last year. The Ironbirds are looking to flip the script on that and pick up some W's here this week as they sit one game over 500 and only three games out of first place with nine to play in the first half. Michael Marcantonini and Seth Chasen with you on the broadcast. Seth was with me twice last year. He was here for a couple of wins, including one walk-off dub, and he's back this year looking to help bring the Ironbirds some luck. Preston Johnson back to work here in the second. He gets Luis Miesis, the first baseman who swings and misses at the first pitch he sees. So the count's 0-1 as the Birds put a little bit of a shift on for the left-handed swinger. 0-1 from Johnson skipped in the dirt. Well, Seth, it's great to have you back. I know you're doing some really awesome stuff with Harford Community College, calling a bunch of different sports there. You've got your a radio show that you co-host that we'll talk about throughout the night. But you're a busy man. Seems like you're always either at a ballpark or at a field or at a stadium or something.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of work with Harford, and I've had a blessing to be able to call games over there for the last, I can't believe it's been 3 years now. Since I've been calling games, and you know, it's taught me a lot of not only about myself, but a lot about preparation, and you know, some of the coaches, the general staff there, and they've been awesome. I've always, you know, asking for tips, and it's been a lot of fun, man. Recently finished up with the men's lacrosse team, following them on their journey to their second national championship in a row, and unfortunately wasn't on the call for that game.
But you were on the call season.
Yeah, and that was a lot of fun, and had a lot of memorable moments, a lot of memorable calls, because obviously with goal calls, it's a little bit different from home run, where you can, you know, play around with some stuff, and definitely did not get some help from the team on coming up with goal calls for them. That definitely didn't happen, but no, it's a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, one up, one down here in the top of the second. Preston Johnson got a comebacker off of the bat of Miesis, and now Ian Moeller, the catcher. Counts 2-0. Birds down 1-0 here in the top of inning number two. Johnson slowing the pace down here early on, and he paints the outside corner with a fastball. Good-looking heater there, and he gets the count to 2-1. So back-to-back national titles for the Hartford lacrosse program. Of course, you're on the call for them all season. A lot of winning going on there.
A lot of winning.
It's nice showing up. Regardless of what sport you're calling, as Johnson gets one over for a strike, regardless of what sport you're calling, when you know you're going to see a W and a competitive, fun game.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, with Hartford, I mean, and again, this isn't to, you know, say anything bad about any other programs, but Hartford just has a real knack for finding players who buy into the program and are just there to win, and they are all super, super talented. They pull people from, you know, the Western United States. They pull people from Canada. They had five members of the team from Canada, two of which were twins from Saskatchewan, which I love to say on the broadcast. Don't get, you know. But, no, they are a great program, and a lot of one-sided affairs, because there aren't many teams that are able to keep Hartford close. The ones that have been our main rivals being Nassau, Essex, and Onondaga, all 2-3-4 respectively nationwide. Hartford continues their dominance at the number one spot in the nation.
Johnson just missed inside the Moeller, so there's a walk on a full count offering. First walk of the night for Johnson, and it sends Moeller down to first for Anthony Gutierrez, the center fielder. Gutierrez, the other Rangers top five prospect on this Crawdads roster, he is number 4 on the top 30 list. He opened last year as the youngest player in the Low A Carolina League at just 18 years old, and now up in High A. He's from Venezuela originally, but he moved to the Dominican when he was younger. And he moved to the Dominican to train at the same academy that produced Rafael Devers and Eloy Jimenez. So, you know, some big-time, big-league talent coming out of that academy. And, of course, Gutierrez hoping to join those guys in the show someday. Counts 0-1 on him with a runner at first and one down. Swing and a miss. Good off-speed pitch there from Johnson. And the count's 0-2.
Yeah, 23 pitches so far for Johnson and 12 strikes. I'd say a pretty good average so far.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around the zone, but not too much to a point where guys are just teeing off.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pitches that he's missed on, he hasn't missed by much. There hasn't been one pitch where we're like, wow, that was way outside or way inside.
Yeah, he's painting the edges, and he's trying to figure out how this umpire is going to react. Is it going to be north, south, or east, or west?
Yeah. Umpires in tonight's ball game as that pitch is fouled away. Shea Graham is behind home plate, and Christian Argueza has the bases. So one out, and the count 0-2 on Gutierrez with a runner at first. Johnson entered today's game, striking out almost 12 batters per nine. Can he add another right here? Look over his shoulder, 0-2, and a foul back to the padded wall behind home plate. Well, this is Johnson's third start in a row, his first 9 games of the season out of the bullpen, but he made his first career start on May 30th. And in 2 starts this year, 4 earned runs and 7 1/3 coming in with 7 strikeouts and 6 walks. So getting used to pitching out of the rotation. 0-2 pitch, breaking ball, slapped out to short. Vasquez waits back, throws to second for one. Romero over to first, and it's not in time. Well, Costas looked like he held the bag over at first, but Gutierrez beat the play to first. So a fielder's choice, and now let's set the defense for Aberdeen. Creed Willems is catching for Johnson with Carter Young at third and Jalen Vasquez at short. Noelbert Romero in his Ironbird season debut is at second with Maxwell Costas at first. And then in the outfield, Douglas Hoda the third in left, and Enrique Bradfield Jr. in center, and Tavian Josenberger in right. Two gone and Gutierrez at first. As the Birds look to throw up another zero, it's 1-0 Hickory. Moeller forced out at second. First pitch to Quincy Scott, the right-handed hitting DH, is in for a strike. And the count is 0-1. Well, Johnson a chance for a scoreless inning here as he battles against the Crawdads. This is the first South Division opponent that the Ironbirds have faced this season. Runner dancing off first, next pitch, in for a strike, it's 0-2. Entering tonight's game, the Ironbirds had only played four different opponents this year. Wilmington, Hudson Valley, Brooklyn, and Jersey Shore. And now add Hickory to the list.
That's what I like about minor league, is that teams will play each other multiple times that are in the, you know, the same area, and it really builds a rivalry.
Yeah.
And certainly something for the fans to come in and watch, like, okay, these teams are, you know, they're either really close or they just hate each other, and they're going to be trying to hit for the fences every game. But it's nice to see teams play each other a considerable amount of times throughout a season.
Yeah, count is 1-2 on Scott with two down here in the second. And, for one, it helps fans get to know who these guys are because they're seeing some of the same names. And now with, you know, six-game series Tuesday through Sunday with every Monday and off day, it also helps, you know, you get familiar with the team. Move over to first.
Probably makes your job a little bit easier, too.
It definitely
right?
does. I mean, hey, by even if it's a team where we haven't seen throughout a season, you know, I'm doing my research before the series, but by game three of the series, you know, I've got it down. I know who's hitting where in the lineup, what the rotation is, who's coming out of the pen. I will say it's nice as a broadcaster. Runner takes off for second. Huge jump. Pitch misses high, and Willems no chance to throw down to second. It's a stolen base for Gutierrez. And now a runner at second for Hickory with two down.
I know it sucks to see, but, you know, it was a great hold. Didn't overreact and throw the ball where it could potentially lead into another steal of base.
You don't want to sail that one into center with no play. Yeah, Willems, a good job to just eat that one. Now Johnson looking at Gutierrez at second, next pitch, fouled away behind home plate. And Gutierrez had a huge jump dancing off of first, which led to the steal. And now on that last pitch, he was dancing off a second with another big lead off of the bag.
I wouldn't be shocked if he tries to go for it in the next pitch or so.
He's 14 for 16 now in stolen base attempts on the season. Stays put, 2-2, swing and a miss. Good pitch up in the zone. A little bit of late bite on it, and Johnson picks up his second strikeout. So back-to-back innings with a strikeout to end it, and he throws up a zero. No runs on no hits, no errors, and one man left at second. 1-0 Hickory through 1.5. But the Birds are coming to bat looking for some runs. And we will go to the bottom of the second after this on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the second inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Birds trail the Crawdads 1-0 in game one of this six-game series. Birds looking to get something going after going down 1-2-3 in the first. Creed Willems, Carter Young, and Douglas Hodo III due up for the Birds against right-hander DJ McCarty, who looked good in a quick first inning. Pop-out, fly-out, ground ball, and a comebacker to him. Crawdads grabbed a run in the top of the first. That's it so far. First pitch to Willems, and he hits one off the end of the bat, but still hits it hard because he's that strong, and it's a base hit into right center. Creed Willems, who has swung at the first pitch so often this year and has done it well, is on with the Ironbirds' first hit of the night, and that brings up Carter Young, the switch hitter, who will bat from the left side.
You know what they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. He hits off the first pitch and, you know, made it a first base hit for the Orioles.
Yeah.
Or Orioles, the Ironbirds.
And I think it's worth noting that, you know, if you're swinging at the first pitch, you want to make hard contact. And Willems so often does. I mean, he's just got so much pop. Like I just said, that ball was sort of off the end of his bat. It wasn't barreled up, but it still sounded almost like he hit it off the barrel because he's just that strong. So he's over at first base for Young, who's at third base tonight. Pitch misses outside. It's 2-0. Young has hit safely in six of his last nine. He went 2-for-6 with a pair of RBIs on Saturday at Brooklyn. So he's looking to continue the nice stretch that he's on and make it 7 out of 10 in the hit column. Third baseman Blackwell is even with the bag at third. There's a ground ball to short, backhanded by Walcott, and he doesn't have a play. He double pumped and then threw late to first. It's an infield single for Carter Young, and it's now first and second for the Ironbirds. And Willems busting it to second made that play tough on Walcott there, Seth, because, you know, he's thinking, I'll just go to the short way to second. Didn't have a play.
Yeah, he waited too long, and if he threw that ball the first time, I think he might have had a play at second, but luckily for the Ironbirds, he thought twice, and two men on now.
That brings up Douglas Hodo, who is swinging a really hot bat for the Ironbirds. He shows bunt, pulls back to take a strike, a breaking ball in there. It's 0-1. In his last 15 games, Hodo's hitting .280 with four extra base hits, and he's also walked seven times in that span, so he's been on base a ton. Stolen base numbers are up. He's 7-for-9 in steals in that 15-game stretch. 0-1, not showing bunt. He takes another breaking ball and another strike. It's 0-2. So he's batting .280 with a .379 on base, and he's slugging .440 over his last 15. That's an excellent slash line. Take that any day. Guy who's getting more opportunities in the lineup, and he's making it count. Pitch misses outside. It's 1-2.
So the first strike of this, second strike. Sorry, first ball, rather. Sorry, first ball of this at-bat. A little far on the right side.
He's staying away from Hodo, and he does there, and that's a called strike three. Tough one there. Well, you mentioned the last pitch was pretty far outside. He went back to that outside corner and got the strikeout. So first and second now with one out as Hodo heads back to the dugout. That brings up Jalen Vasquez, the shortstop. Vasquez has had a really nice season in his first go-around at high A. First full pro season for Vasquez. Reached base safely four times on Saturday at Brooklyn. Two singles and two walks. And he lines one over Walcott's head into left center. Willems had to hold up to see if it would get caught, and he stops at third. So station-to-station baseball for the Birds. But the bases are full of Birds, Seth, with only one out here in the second.
Yeah, the Ducks are on the pond, as they say, and great position for the Ironbirds right now to get back into this game, and one hit could clear the bases.
Yeah, I mean, and the guy who's coming up to bat right now, Maxwell Costas, can absolutely make this a 4-1 game with one swing. He's got a ton of pop. He just hit his first home run of the season this past Friday at Brooklyn in a 4-for-4 night. He's swinging it well, .333 over his last 10. Swings at the first pitch and grounds one out to short. On one hop, Walcott to second for one, over to first. And just like that, an inning-ending 6-4-3 double play. Well, maybe next time he hit it hard, but right at Walcott. And the inning is over. So no runs on three hits, no errors. Birds leave them loaded. And we'll head to the top of the third. Still 1-0 Hickory. We'll see if Preston Johnson can keep it that way here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top three here in the Dean. Hickory 1, Aberdeen nothing. The Birds loaded them up with one out in the bottom of the second, but the Crawdads and DJ McCarty rolled up an inning-ending 6-4-3 double play, and that is how the Dads got out of it with a zero on the scoreboard. So top three as Preston Johnson goes back to work. 9-1-2 against him. Ben Blackwell then back to the top for Alejandro Ozuna and Cam Cauley. Crawdads got a run in the top of the first. Cauley doubled to left, and then Morabell singled him home. Only run of the night. Two hits for Hickory, three for Aberdeen. But no runs on the board for the Birds, as this one's popped up down the right field line out of play into the seats. And the count is 0-1 on Ben Blackwell. Some more numbers for Johnson this year. Entering tonight's game, opponents were hitting 235 against him with a 739 OPS. He's done a great job keeping the ball in the ballpark this year. Just two homers allowed. I mentioned overall striking out almost 12 batters per nine. 42 Ks in 32 innings of work coming in. Now he gets a ground ball to the left side. Nice play by the shortstop Vasquez. Off-balance throw to first. Throw was high, but Costas came down with the glove on the runner Blackwell for the tag. And it's a 6-3 putout for out number one. That's a great job, Seth, by Costas to come off the bag and make that tag.
It was a beautiful catch and just great reaction time to just drop the glove and get him on the tag just before he reached the base.
One up, one down. Here's Alejandro Ozuna. So one time through the order for Johnson, a couple of strikeouts, two hits allowed, one walk. He's been really solid so far. He's been economical. Hasn't thrown a ton of pitches.
And that's
32 pitches through two. That's not a ton.
Yeah, I mean, for someone that you know you want to go the distance in a game, having through three innings, only 35 pitches, that's actually a really good number because that's averaging a little over 10 an inning.
Counts 2-0 on Ozuna, who flew out to left his first time up. Johnson got him on two pitches to start the game. Preston in his third start of the season, 12th appearance overall. 2-0 in for a strike. It's 2-1. Johnson pitched really well in his last outing this past week at Brooklyn. Pitched on June 5th. Four shutout innings, gave up just one hit, struck out five, walked only two. 2-1, popped up foul out of play. It's 2-2. So, I mean, a confidence-boosting outing, Seth, coming off of four shutout innings. Now he's given up a run tonight, but he's limited damage.
Yeah, I mean, and his offense is working for him, too, as we saw in the last bit of the inning. You got three hits back-to-back-to-back. Unfortunately, ended in that double play, but some confidence. Oh, and two balls flying up towards us.
You always got to have your head on a swivel up here. It's about time I think I get my glove.
Yeah, I was about to say that. You might need to get the glove. But
yeah, you know, I always have the glove ready. But I think that's a great point. The Iron Birds put up three hits in the last inning, didn't score, but they're chipping away.
Yeah, and it's your pitcher will walk with more confidence if he knows his offense is working in front of him.
Popped up to the middle of the diamond. Vasquez, the shortstop, calls for it, and he makes the grab out at short about a step onto the outfield turf. So two up, two down, and a chance for his first 1-2-3 inning of the night.
Thought that one was coming up here, too.
Got the glove on my hand now. And, you know, it's really a consistent thing here. Every night that we're home here in Aberdeen, first foul ball that's in the general vicinity, it's time to put the glove on.
You're like, oh, we'll risk it, but, you know. Have you? I don't remember if I ask you this, but have you caught a ball up here before?
Check swing upstairs. He went around. It counts 0-1. So there were two in the booth last year. I didn't catch either. One was a hot shot that I just ducked and went out of the way, and the other one was not really in my range to catch. But it was one where you know I wasn't too worried about it.
Yeah.
Didn't come off with as much sauce. It counts 1-1 on the two-hole hitter Cauley. He doubled and scored the only run of the game back in the first. But, you know, when it's a right-handed batter, I can relax because really a right-hander can't foul one back into this booth. But it's the lefties, and there are a lot of them. Got to have the glove nearby, if not on. 0-1, another pop-up to the middle of the diamond. Bradfield in center calls everybody off, and he makes the catch in shallow center, inning over. A ground out, a pop out, and a fly out, and Preston Johnson works his first 1-2-3 inning of the night. Through 2.5 here in Aberdeen, the Birds still trail 1-0. But looking to keep the bats going when we come back for the bottom of the third on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. 1-0 Hickory over Aberdeen, bottom three here in the Dean. 9-1-2 for the Birds, Noelbert, Romero, Enrique Bradfield Jr., and Tavian Josenberger. Against right-hander DJ McCarty for Hickory, Birds had the bases loaded with one out in the second, but a double play ball ended the threat. The Birds out hitting the Crawdads 3-2 tonight, but looking to get in the run column. Preston Johnson has worked three innings of one-run ball in his third start of the season, a couple of strikeouts for Preston. He's looked good. Bird's looking to get him some runs, and here is Noelbert Romero, the native of Venezuela, takes a strike, counts 0-1. Romero's been all around the O's farm system this season, playing second base in his Ironbirds season debut, takes a strike, 0-2. He's played in 29 games for the Delmarva Shorebirds, the low-A affiliate. He's also spent 15 games with the AAA Norfolk Tides. And now here to help out the Ironbirds is there's been some player movement throughout the Orioles system lately. 0-2, swing and a miss at a breaking ball. It's one up, one down on three pitches, now back to the top. So Ironbirds outfielder first baseman Matthew Etzel was just promoted to Double-A Bowie after Sunday's game in Brooklyn. Etzel, a well-deserved promotion for him, a 10th-round pick last summer. And he's making his Double-A debut tonight in Harrisburg against the Senators, less than a year after he was drafted. So impressive for the 22-year-old Etzel. Bradfield takes a strike, it's 0-1. And Etz was one of my favorite guys to talk to here in Aberdeen. Love talking ball with him. Had a chance to sit down with him in episode 3 of All Mic'd Up. Can head over to my YouTube channel to check that out. 0-1 to Bradfield, misses inside, it's 1-1. So Etz promoted to Double-A Bowie. Congrats to him and his family. Etz hit .311 with an .866 OPS in his last 25 games for the Birds, so very well deserved. 1-1, chopper to the left side, out to short. Walcott has it, but not nearly in time on the throw over to first. It's an infield single for Enrique Bradfield Jr., and Seth, I mean, with his speed, there was no shot.
Oh, no. Like, he had at least five or six, you know, strides on that ball, and shows why the Orioles drafted him. They do need a lot of speed on the base paths, and obviously you have some of that in the talent we see up at the big club, but seeing it down here, it's another story.
Yeah, I mean, Bradfield might be one. He's got to be a top five fastest player in minor league baseball. Now, I've only seen guys here in the South Atlantic League. You know, you see stolen base leaders and speed, you know, the StatCast numbers on certain guys as there's a snap throw to first, Bradfield back, but without even knowing who else is out there. I mean, just from seeing it with my own eyes, Bradfield has to be top five in the entire minor leagues.
Oh, I wouldn't bet against that.
He's over at first with a big lead. Stays put as Josenberger skies one to shallow right center. Who wants it? Three fielders going after it, and it's the right fielder Morabell who makes the catch. It looked like Gutierrez in center didn't really know where it was. He was on a dead sprint. He didn't get there, but Morabell took care of it. Two outs, and that brings up Prado. Birds down 1-0, but Seth, you mentioned it, the three hits last inning. They're getting their bats on the ball, just two strikeouts from McCarty. I think it's only a matter of time before they break through.
Oh, for sure, and especially against a team that's defensively as solid as this. I mean, we've seen the last couple plays where, you know, the ball's been on the edge of the infield, and they're able to make plays right from there. And even the outfield, they come in, they collapse, and make sure there's not much in the way of the ball getting out of any one of their hands.
So two outs with Bradfield at first, another throw to first, and Bradfield dives back in. Well, Enrique is, of course, without saying, you know, a stolen base threat, and he's now headed to second. A balk was called on McCarty there, and that's what he does, Seth. I mean, even when he's not necessarily going on a pitch, just the fact that he's out there, it forces things like that, like a balk.
I mean, he reminds me a lot of Cedric in the big club because he's able to get the pitcher to, you know, have three disengagements, which under the new rule, yeah, you have to allow the base runner to move up a base. But, I mean, he's certainly got a talent for it, and again, shows why the Orioles drafted him.
So he's at second with two down. Now Prado rips one to right. That's down for a base hit. Here comes Morabell, has it. Here's the throw to the plate. It's late, and Bradfield slides in to second, and Prado is thrown out, but it's a game-tying RBI single for Elio Prado, and the balk turns out to bite the Crawdads. Bradfield's speed nets him a run, so we are tied at one, but Prado thrown out, trying to stretch one into two. So that's it for the bottom of the third, but the Birds knot things up at one. And, Seth, like we talked about, the Ironbirds are getting it going offensively. So we'll head to the top of the fourth, 1-1 our score. Keep it locked on MILB TV and Bally Live here in Aberdeen. Tied at one as we open up play in the top of the fourth inning here in Aberdeen. Elio Prado, a two-out RBI single to right to end the bottom of the third. It scored Enrique Bradfield Jr., who and an infield single got to second on a balk, and then on the next pitch, Prado made the balk come back to bite the crawdad. So 1-1 after three, and here we are in the top of the fourth. Jason Morabell, Sebastian Walcott, and Luis Mieses due up. 3-4-5 hitters for the crawdads as Preston Johnson now goes back to work in a tie game. A little bit of a shift on for the lefty Morabell. And he swings at the first pitch once again and skies one up over the press box here behind home plate. And the count is 0-1. Morabell, an RBI single in the first to produce the Crawdads' only run of the game. But then he was caught stealing on a strikeout, throw-em-out double play to end the first. Birds with five hits in three innings tonight. And there's a liner up the middle of base hit. So Morabell stays hot. He's seen three pitches tonight. He swung at all of them. And now he's 2-for-2.
Going back to last inning, just again, building on that second inning where they had three hits, weren't able to do anything with it, and then finally broke through. And we said this after we hopped off the broadcast, but when Enrique was halfway between second and third, I knew he already was going home. Just with that amount of speed, he's a danger if he's anywhere in scoring position.
And with two outs, of course, off on the crack of the bat, and that was an easy send for Felipe Alou in the third base coach's box. Now a grounder to first, foul. Just foul. Nice sliding stag by Costas. But it's a foul ball off of the bat of Walcott. So 0-1 on Walcott. Morabell back to first. Walcott struck out on a strike him out, throw him out, double play to end the first. So far this season, batting average just over 200, OPS approaching 700. Five homers, 16 ribbies for the Rangers' number one prospect. First full season at High A after getting up to High A at the end of last year. Next pitch from Johnson, good fastball in the outer half, and the count's 0-2. Well, Johnson continues to get ahead of hitters.
He's been doing that all night, and when you or head in the count, you always get into the batter's head, and you own the at-bat.
15 extra base hits for Walcott so far this season. 9 doubles, a triple, and those 5 homers. So he sprayed the ball all over the yard, and of course out of the yard. 0-2 pitch coming up. Liner to right, and that's down in front of Josenberger. So first and second for the Crawdads, as Josenberger rifles one over to third on one hop right to Young. No chance of going first to third for Morabell. First and second with no outs for Luis Mieses, who bounced back to Johnson his first time up. 1-1 our score, top four. Elio Prado, a game-tying RBI single with two outs in the bottom of the third. Now the Crawdads have something cooking once again. That brings up the left-handed swinger Mieses, one of three lefties in this Crawdads order. Young over at third base is close to the bag, and even with the bag. Big hole on the left side with Vasquez, the shortstop, shading up the middle. First pitch low. It's 1-0. Looked like a changeup there. So a huge hole in that left side if Miesis can shoot one there. It's a hit and probably a run for the Crawdads. Morabell at second with Walcott at first in a tie game. Johnson has had to work around traffic on the bases all night tonight. Next pitch, fouled back. Well, he's coming off a 1-2-3 inning, Seth, in which he looked really good. Got some quick outs. A couple of ground ball outs so far tonight. He's done a good job keeping the ball down.
Yeah. I mean, only two strikes, one error, but 50 pitches through four innings of work is it's a pretty good start.
Bullpen action for the Ironbirds. Right-hander Graham Fyrovet is up. Birds hoping that Johnson can get through this inning as he gets a foul tip into Willems' glove. Counts 1-2 on Miesis. This is a much different Hickory team than we saw last year. The Crawdads won the second half in the South Atlantic League South Division, got to the playoffs, lost to the Greenville Drive, who went on to win the whole thing. 1-2, that's high. Snap throw to first, runner back. But this season, the Crawdads, 7 games under 500 at 25-32 with a minus 45 run differential. They've played around 500 baseball at home, but just 9-17 on the road this year. On the flip side, the Ironbirds are 16-8 at home. So that bodes well for them this week. 2-2, low and away, counts full. Well, you definitely don't want to walk him here and load the bases with no outs.
Yeah, that would not be a good play for the Ironbirds, but with the amount of speed from his fastball that we're seeing, I mean, we saw some up in the mid-90s, probably going to go fastball up high.
He did go fastball, and it's skied to left. Hodo is there, and he makes the catch in medium left. So that's a big out number one right there on a full count pitch to come with a fastball in the zone right there. You know, ball. If that's ball four, it's bases loaded, no outs.
Yeah.
Instead, it's first and second, one out, and that's a huge confidence-boosting out.
And a great job out there in left field to hold the ball and, you know, limit any runners coming and advancing a base.
So here's Ian Moeller, the catcher, walked his first time up. Tied at one in the top of the fourth. On a nice night for a ball game here in the Dean. A little bit cool, but no wind. First pitch fouled back. It's 0-1.
That one likely out into the parking lot.
Hey, I mean, you know, I love when the kids run around the concourse looking for foul balls or racing after foul balls here, but, you know, hey, I mean, chess over checkers. The real ones know to check the parking lot after the game for some extra foul balls.
Remember doing that as a kid, coming here for games all the time, and my brother and I would hunt some down. We may or may not have fought over some.
There's one. Popped up middle of the diamond. Infield fly rule should be in effect. It is. And the third baseman, Young, actually dropped the ball in front of the mound. But because of the infield fly rule, it's the second out of the inning. And, of course, the runners can advance at their own risk, but both stayed put. Well, that's why you've got the infield fly rule on those pop-ups.
Yeah.
All four infielders for the Ironbirds converged around the mound there as Johnson got out of the way. That's what the pitcher's taught to do. And a high sky tonight, not much cloud cover, light blue sky, and still sunny, a little bit sunny out. That one went off the heel of Young's glove as he tried to make the grab around the shoulder. But Moeller retired on the pop-out. P5 on the infield fly right there. So still first and second with two down for Gutierrez. First pitch missed inside, counts 1-0. Well, nice job by Johnson after the singles to start the inning. First and second, no outs. Now first and second, two outs.
That last pitch on the inside missed the zone by maybe an inch or two.
1-0. Fly ball to shallow right field. Josenberger racing in. And he lost his hat and his shades, and he makes the catch to retire the side. Well, it is tough for us in the broadcast booth to see the ball with the high sky tonight. I can't even imagine what it's like for the fielders out there. But Josenberger takes care of it. And after back-to-back singles to open the inning, Johnson gets the next three in order. So we are still tied at one after 3.5. We'll head to the bottom of the fourth after this and see if the Birds can take their first lead when we come back on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the fourth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Mark Cantonini and Seth Chasen with you on the call of tonight's series opener between the Ironbirds and the Crawdads. Birds grabbed a run to tie in the bottom of the third. Elio Prado, a two-out RBI single to right. Scoring Enrique Bradfield, who got the second on a balk. And that is why this game's tied right now. Willems leads off the bottom of the fourth. He went around on a check swing. Counts 0-1. Willems Young Hodo, 4-5-6 against right-hander DJ McCarty, who's looked pretty good through three. A couple of strikeouts. He's pitched mainly to contact as Willems chops one over towards the Birds' dugout. And Prado makes the barehanded grab off the net.
There's a good reason why that net's there. A bunch of fans behind there, and certainly don't want to have them get hit with a ball.
Yeah, you got to be ready. Willems sends a breaking ball into shallow left center. Here comes Gutierrez, but it's the left fielder Ozuna who makes the catch. Well, Ozuna, Gutierrez, and Morabel, those three not letting anything drop out in the outfield. And Willems is retired for out number one.
That's going to be a thorn in the Ironbirds' side if they continue to play that lockdown in the outfield. It's going to cause some issues.
Here's Carter Young, who singled his first time up. We're tied at one, bottom four. Young has hit safely now in seven of his last 10. He pops up a bunt attempt foul. It's 0-1. Well, the Ironbirds have played 500 baseball this season, essentially. You know, one game over 500 coming into tonight's game, but over their last 18 games, they are exactly at 500. 9-9 in their last 18. 0-1 to Young takes outside. And the reason I mentioned in their last 18 is because that's their last three series. So they've split each of their last three series. And they are 9-9 combined in those 18. Young pops another one up over our heads in the booth, and it's 1-2.
You didn't see me flinch there.
The Ironbirds are 5-5 in their last 10. They are 3-2 in their last 5. And since May 1st, so over the last month and a half, they are 18-17. So, Seth, that is pretty much the definition of 500 baseball right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you know, in this stage, early on, you want to make sure that you're not falling behind.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, it's ideal to be above 500, but if you're staying at 500, you're within striking distance of, especially with how close some of these teams are together and the amount of games back. I mean, you got a lot of time to make up ground.
So Young down on strikes, two gone and no one on. Here's Hodo, who struck out looking his first time up, takes a strike, and that's exactly the position the Ironbirds are in. They're just three games out of first place with nine to play in the first half. An outside shot to win that first half and clinch a playoff spot. Hodo takes another strike. It's 0-2. Over their last 35 games since May 1st, averaging 4.4 runs per game with a team ERA of 4.45. I mean, that's how you play 500 baseball, averaging just about the same amount of runs as you're giving up. So, I mean, this is a team that, of course, at times, you know, they're stringing a couple losses together here and there, but then they string a couple wins together and get back into it. Ground ball up the third baseline. Tough play for Blackwell. Bare hands it, throws to first, not in time. An infield single for Douglas Hodo, and he is at first with two down. Well, Seth, Blackwell did everything he could. Bare hand play, strong throw to first, but not in time to get the speedy Hodo.
Yeah, it's not in time, and obviously, again, using his speed. And that's one thing that I've noticed here during this game is all these players have a bunch of speed to get on the bases, even on a hit that probably, you know, if the infield were to get there a little sooner, that would have been out. But because of the speed, now we see a man on.
So runner at first with two down. That's the go-ahead run. Jalen Vasquez swings at the first pitch and grounds it foul up the first baseline, 0-1. Blackwell over at third is even with the bag, but way off that line. He's probably 2.5 body lengths off that third baseline, shading towards short. The shortstop Walcott is deep and shading up the middle. Now, of course, he has to be on the third base side of second with the new shift rules in minor and major league baseball. You got to have two fielders on either side of second, and they have to be playing on the infield. Counts 0-1. Hodo stays put, and Vasquez grounds one foul up the first baseline. Just foul. 0-2. Talking about the shift rules in baseball nowadays, they had Francisco Lindor of the Mets mic'd up during the London series this past weekend against the Phillies. And he said that's one thing that he consistently has to check to make sure he's standing on the infield dirt and his feet aren't into the outfield. Definitely an adjustment for guys at every level.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of new rule changes within the last two seasons, and certainly, and we could talk about this in the next inning, but there have been a lot of changes to the game of baseball.
Yeah.
Both good and, you know, some people have their opinions on others.
Of course. But, of course. Well, we'll pick that convo up when we come back in the fifth. Vasquez just struck out looking to end the threat. No runs on a hit, no errors, one left in the fourth. Still tied at one, top five next on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the fifth inning here in Aberdeen. New arm for the Ironbirds. We're tied at one as we open up play in the fifth. Preston Johnson is done after four really strong innings. And he gives way to right-hander Graham Fyrovede. So Fyrovede, the new arm, and the first reliever into the game for the Birds tonight. He'll look to keep this game tied. First pitch grounded to third. Young has it. Shuffles, throws to first, and it's in time to get the eight-hole hitter Quincy Scott. So one pitch, one out for Fyrovede. It's a great way to start his night, but how good was Preston Johnson tonight? Just one run in four innings, Seth.
Yeah, I mean, he played amazing, didn't throw anything that was way out of the strike zone, and made every pitch competitive, playing a lot of east and west, I noticed, but certainly a great start and kept the Crawdads to one run.
Kept them off balance just at one run in the first. That was it. Three batters into the game and then blanked after that. 58 pitches, 39 strikes for Johnson tonight as the nine-hole hitter Blackwell takes a strike. It's 0-1 with one out and no one on. Birds and Dads tied at one in game one of a six-game set. Next pitch from Graham, swing and a miss, 0-2. Final line for Johnson. One run, it was earned on four hits in four innings, two strikeouts, one walk. So only the two punch-outs, but he pitched really well to contact, kept the pitch count down, and he looked really good. So over his last two outings, just one run in eight innings of work for Preston Johnson. That's a huge confidence booster for him as he looks to settle in his first full pro season. Counts now 1-2 on Blackwell as Graham Fyrovede continues to throw it well for the Birds. Fyrovede, 24 years old, native of Virginia Beach, Virginia. He's on for the 17th time this season. Fly ball to deep right. Josenberger a couple steps back. Makes the grab shy of the track. And it's two up, two down for Fyrovede. Well, that's exactly what you want out of a bullpen arm, Seth. Come in, get quick outs.
Exactly. Five quick pitches and already two outs. And the Ironbirds certainly looking to get their bats warmed up again and get them firing.
22 strikeouts now in 24 complete innings for Fyrovede this season. He's pitched exclusively out of the bullpen throughout his pro career, and he is coming out of the pen just firing strikes. First pitch, strike to Ozuna, the leadoff man.
Pitch was only 82 miles an hour, but certainly looked like it had a lot more gas than that.
Took something off of that one. Working quickly, 0-1, make it 0-2, swing and a miss, and that was a half-hearted swing. Chased out of the zone, 0-2. Fyrovede has four pitches to work with, four-seam fastball, changeup, curveball, sweeper. 0-2, fastball outside, it's 1-2. Well, he's dictating the pace right now, Seth, getting the baseball and just throwing it.
I mean, he's all up in this batter's head, and he's really taking command of this at-bat and just showing all his stuff.
1-2 flicked out to second. Romero waits back on it over to first, and it's an easy 1-2-3 fifth inning for Graham Fyrouved out of the Birds' bullpen. So he sets the Crawdads down in order. That's six Crawdads down in a row. Johnson now to Fyrouved. And after 4.5, we are still knotted at one. We'll head to the bottom of the fifth and see if the Birds can get something on the board here on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office at tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585, and you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information.
Ironbirds 1, Crawdads 1. Bottom of the fifth inning here from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. The Birds will send up Costas Romero and Bradfield, 8-9-1 against DJ McCarty, who's back out there 43 pitches through four innings. He has been really efficient. First pitch of the fifth is in for a strike. Costas bounced into a 6-4-3 double play to end the second. Came up with the bases loaded. Birds eventually tied the game at one on Prado's two-out single to right in the third. And we are still tied as Costas takes the ball, counts 1-1. But Costas swinging it really well, hitting .333 in his last 10. He went 4-for-4 this past Friday. A little Wendy's action for Maxwell. Homer and three singles in that one.
Can't ask for a better night. I mean, maybe the cycle would be a better night, but having four hits in one night, that's a great night.
That's how you heat up for sure. Next pitch, tapped foul.
And one thing that surprised me about him, he's a bigger guy, but he's very agile, and like as we saw on the first baseline there, he's been able to have amazing reflexes, you know, drop the glove, make the tag before the runner made it to first, but certainly a great addition to this Ironbirds club.
Popped up left side, snagged by Blackwell, the third baseman, running out towards the shortstop position. So Costas retired, one out and no one on here in the fifth. That brings up Noelbert Romero. Well, it's really cool to see Noelbert Romero back here in Aberdeen for a couple reasons. You know, of course, to help out this club, but also that he is reunited with his guy, Elio Prado. These two guys pretty much inseparable. Liner to first, and of course he swings the first pitch. I can't even tell the story. I'm going to have to mix that in later, but two quick outs as Romero rips one to Miesis over at first. And that we'll go back to the top for Bradfield. Now watch, Bradfield's going to see like seven pitches, that's exactly what I needed for Romero right there.
Now you can't talk over it because you got Enrique up.
Must-see TV, and it's not always what Enrique does with his legs out on the base pass or with his glove out in center, but this guy can swing the bat. 1-0, takes a breaking ball back door for a strike. It's 1-1. We're tied at one, bottom of the fifth. Birds with two outs and no one on. Bradfield hitting .283 in his last 15. He has another hit tonight. And he has the Ironbirds' only run. Check swing, appeal, no swing. It's 2-1. Bradfield's driven in eight runs over his last 15 games, and that's significant because he had just three RBIs in his first 25. 2-1 of it. I don't know where that one missed. That looked like it was there, but Bradfield will take it. It's 3-1. But Eight RBIs in his last 15 after three in his first 25. And it's tough to rack up the RBIs when every time you're in the lineup, you're in the leadoff spot. But Bradfield getting it done. 3-1, ripped to center, but Gutierrez is there. And it's a 1-2-3 bottom of the fifth. Well, the Birds smashed two baseballs, but it leads to two outs, and the Birds go down 1-2-3 for the second time tonight. After five full here in Aberdeen, we are still tied at one. We'll take another break and come back for the top of the sixth after this on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. We're tied at one here in the top of the sixth inning in Aberdeen. Ironbirds grabbed a run to tie the game in the bottom of the third. Neither team has scored since as the pitcher's duel continues here in the Dean. The Crawdads coming to bat for the sixth time tonight, and they'll do it against Graham Fyreved. Graham threw seven strikes, nine pitches overall in a 1-2-3 fifth. He came out of the bullpen absolutely dealing. And now he gets two through four, Cauley, Morabell, and Walcott. First pitch to the second baseman, Cauley misses outside 1-0. Seth, it's a tough night for both of these lineups. Combined 10 hits in the game, but only two combined runs.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pitcher's duel for sure, and both pitchers, I mean, obviously, after that first inning hit, both pitchers have been locked down and only allowing one to slip in the third for the Ironbirds, but all around a great pitcher's duel.
And just one walk for the Ironbirds pitching staff, none for McCarty on the Crawdads side. And, you know, hey, you limit the walks. You know, you can afford to give up some base hits. 1-1, liner to third. Young with a nice grab. Went down to a knee for that one. And that is a nice grab for out number one. So, Cauley's retired. Seen both teams make some pretty sweet plays in the field. You know, haven't seen, like, a full extension diving catch or anything. But, you know, both teams' outfielders running down balls in the gap. You got a nice play there by Young on a liner.
And it looked effortless, too.
Yeah. Sort of just a reaction play. Here's Jason Morabell, who drove in the Crawdads' only run, and he just drove in the Crawdads' second run in. Fly ball to deep right, and that ball is not coming back. Jason Morabell is 3-for-3 with a couple of singles, and now a go-ahead solo homer here in the top of the sixth. Well, slow trot around the bases. That ball got out of the park, Seth, before he even got into his trot.
Yeah, that was a hard-hit ball. Out there to right, and really not much you can do if you're the outfielder. You've got to watch it go over the fence, but it's a high hit ball off the APG FCU building out there.
Shout out to the sponsors, of course.
Yeah, sponsors of the Harford Community College Athletic Building.
Local connections, we love
yes.
it. Fyreved looking to come back after allowing the one-out go-ahead homer. And here's Sebastian Walcott, who is 1-for-2 with a single his last time up. So Hickory now leads 2-1. A run in the first, now 1-6, and Walcott fouls one away. It's 0-2. That ball was crushed, no doubt, but just a solo homer, and you can live with giving up solo homers. Not a ton different than an RBI single,
yeah.
An RBI double. I mean, it's one run. And, you know, the Ironbirds have stayed in games because, one, they don't allow a lot of homers. 0-2, liner down the right field line, out of play, but when they do allow them, there's not a ton of guys on base. You know, a lot of solo shots. And that's helped them, you know, it's helped this entire pitching staff.
So 16 pitches, 13 strikes for Fyrouved, and he's having himself a start.
Yeah, he's been all around the plate. Well, talk about allowing home runs. On the season, the Ironbirds have only allowed 31, counting the one that Morabell just hit. That's third fewest in the league. For a while this season, the Ironbirds had allowed the fewest not only in the entire SAL, but in all of High A. Now, the last couple road trips, you know, they've given up their fair share of long balls. But still, I mean, this deep in the season to have allowed just 31 homers, I mean, that's solid. Chopper up the third baseline, foul. Willems touches it in foul ground, and the count remains 2-2. That's less than a homer per game. That's well less than a homer per game.
And for your defense, you certainly need that, and that's some momentum moving forward is, okay, you know, we know we're locked down defense, and we know our pitching staff knows what they're doing, and they're not giving up any cookies, and it makes the offense a little bit easier feeling going into their at-bats.
Counts 2-2 with one out, no one on. Walcott steps back in the righty batter's box. Hickory 2, Aberdeen 1, top 6. A solo homer, the only base runner that Fyrouved's allowed is that one's fouled up around the press box. Count stays at 2-2. Johnson went the first four, gave up just one run. Johnson's now allowed just one run over 8 innings in his last 2 starts. A great sign for him. 2-2 from Graham, swing and a miss. Pulled the string on it, and the changeup gets him out number 2 here in the 6th.
That one had some gas behind it, too.
That was sweet right there. I mean, that's just nasty stuff. Late break.
And moving at that speed, 84 miles an hour, not many people are going to be hitting that.
So 2 outs, no one on. That brings up Luis Meaces, who's over at first base tonight. Ground out and a fly out. Birds trail 2-1. Next pitch from Graham. That misses downstairs. Well, you mentioned the strike-to-ball ratio for Fyrouved tonight, Seth, and he's only thrown 4 or 5 balls to this point. I mean, before that last AB against Walcott, he had only thrown 3, and he misses there. But, you know, really the only one he wants back is, of course, the ball that Morabell hit out of the park.
Of course.
But everything else has been weak contact, keeping the ball on the ground.
And he's challenging these hitters, too. He's not just throwing it outside of the strike zone. He's throwing it inside the strike zone, trying to get him to bite at something and then getting some light contact.
Yeah, good pitch on the outer half right there. That pitch is pretty much unhittable. You know, tough for a lefty to hit that one hard out on the outside corner. 2-1, misses way inside. It's 3-1. Well, the Birds, I think they knew before the top of this 6th inning, they were going to need some more runs to win this thing. Left-hander Davy Cruz up in the Ironbirds bullpen, but, you know, I don't think the Ironbirds are nearly done tonight. 6 hits through 5 innings, only the 1 run, but, you know, these guys are squaring up the baseball. Pitch misses just outside for ball 4.
Their timing's been on all night, and there's really not much that's fooled them outside of the second and third innings, and I think we're going to see a late rally here.
Well, on the 12-game road trip up in New York, 6 at Hudson Valley, 6 at Brooklyn, the Ironbirds team ERA was 6.26. Ground ball foul, third base. So, of course, not ideal, giving up 71 earned runs in 102 innings. But the Ironbirds also scored over 5 runs per game on that road trip, and the offense really bailed out the pitching staff at times. And, of course, the pitching staff has been so good this year. So, you know, they've all season kept the Ironbirds in games because of limiting damage out on the mound. Offense bailing them out recently. Pitch misses up and in, counts 1-1. Well, the Ironbirds allowed 9 or more runs in 5 of the 12 games on the road trip. They went 0-5 in those games. But in the other 7, they went 6-1. So really, as long as the pitching staff is keeping this team in the game, the offense is going to do its part, and they're going to rack up W's. This is an Ironbirds team that just does not get blown out often. I think it speaks to really everybody on this roster contributing.
And when you have everyone working as a unit and really knows you know, what to do in certain situations, where to hit, you know, how to barrel up the ball, it really helps the rest of the team because momentum, again, this is a momentum-driven game. Yeah. And momentum shifts, and you want the momentum more in your favor if you're putting up that many runs.
Wild pitch allows Meaces to move up to second with two down for Moeller. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. And now Fyrived steps off the mound as he and Willems making sure they're on the same page, changing up the signs with a runner at second now. Fyrived back on the mound. Moeller is 0 for 1 with a walk and a pop out tonight. 2-2, just missed off the plate. Looked pretty good, but no call from the home plate umpire, Shea Graham. And the count's full. Big hole on the right side as the second baseman, Romero, keeps the runner close at the second base bag. Payoff pitch, low and away, ball four. So back-to-back walks for Fyrived, and that sets up first and second for Gutierrez.
With two out and a force play in effect, got to wonder if that was maybe purposeful.
I mean, you have a base open right there. And now Ironbirds. Pitching coach Jordy Henry out for a visit. First time that Jordy's been out there tonight. So first and second with two down, top of the sixth inning. A solo shot with one out in the inning from Morabell is the difference right now. But Fyrived and the Birds looking to limit the damage. Michael Mark Cantonini and Seth Chasen with you in the booth tonight. Seth, not only a broadcaster with Harford Community College just down the road. Well, Seth, you're also a local guy. You're a Harford County guy. And it's always great to bring local people here into the booth. You were here twice last year. First time joining me on a broadcast this year. But you mentioned earlier about growing up, going to games here. I mean, how many games do you think you went to growing up?
I mean, I'm 22 now. I'm turning 23 next month. So, I mean, we hadn't gone in a little bit, but, I mean, I'd say probably 50 as a kid.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, coming here, I mean, it was you know, less expensive than, obviously, the big club.
You're right.
Right down, literally 15 minutes down the road, and, you know, just easy to get to, and I feel like the games were, as a kid, a lot more fun because of a lot of the atmosphere, yeah. You know, the hot buttons, all the you know, things that the wonderful event staff are helping, you know, take care of downstairs, and just
interacting with the mascots, yeah. Running around for foul balls.
Yeah, and there's a lot more space to do it here than there is in Baltimore.
1-1 slashed foul down the right field line, out of play. And it's 1-2 on Gutierrez, the center fielder. Fyrived looking to get out of this with just the one run home. So Graham comes set on the mound, holding the glove just below the belt. Quick look at second, now another. And the 1-2, breaking ball popped up right side, foul ground, long run for Costas. And he runs out of room, it's into the seats. So we'll do it again. But I think it's so cool when I'm able to bring people onto the broadcast who have grown up in this area and get to join me on a broadcast after growing up going to games here. I mean, it's definitely a full circle type of thing, and it's cool hearing the stories of, you know, obviously I joined the Ironbirds to call their home games here in 2022, but there were a lot of years of Ironbirds baseball before I got here, and it's cool talking to people who've been here for those years. Swing and a miss. Good fastball there from Fyrived. We'll pick up the conversation when we come back, but Fyrived picks up two strikeouts in the sixth. The Crawdads do take a one-run lead on the solo shot from Jason Morabell. So 2-1 Hickory after 5.5. But we'll go to the bottom of the sixth and see if the Birds can put some more on the scoreboard. Keep it locked on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the sixth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Hickory 2, Aberdeen 1. A pitcher's duel tonight into the middle innings. The Crawdads just grabbed a one-run lead on Jason Morabell's solo shot with one out in the top of the sixth. So that's the difference right now as the Birds come to bat for the sixth time. Josenberger, Prado, and Willems, 2-3-4 against McCarty, who's been really efficient tonight. Just 56 pitches and 40 strikes through five. And he is looking to put up a new season high in innings. Fly ball to center, and on one pitch, there is one out. And just like that, he has now reached a new season high with 5 1/3. He had completed a previous season high of 5 innings in 2 of his last 3. And he's now done it for the third time in his last 4, and now up to a season high 5 1/3. Josenberger, another guy, Seth, another lineout, 3 straight lineouts, but another out.
Yeah, McCarty, I mean, he's, like you said, he's, you know, gone deep in 4 of his last games?
Yeah, 3 of the last 4. Plus. And he just plunked Prado in the rib cage. That doesn't feel good.
It's the hardest way to reach the base.
Most painful, some say, as well.
Yeah.
So Prado down at first. I mean, hey, doing a job for the team, breaking up a streak of 5 in a row that McCarty had set down, and that brings up Creed Willems as the go-ahead run. That's the first free pass that McCarty's issued tonight. No walks, now one hit by pitch. Birds down 2-1, but Willems could change that with one swing. 9 homers already this year. Takes a breaking ball low and in. He's driven in 35.
Looks like McCarty's trying to get Willems to back off of the batter's box a little bit.
1-0, breaking ball sent in the air, deep right field. Morabell ranges back, and he makes the grab on the track. Prado bluffed a tag attempt towards second. He stays at first. Well, Seth, there's another ball that Willems did not get on the barrel, but he hit it to the warning track. It just goes to show how strong he is.
Yeah, I mean, he displayed it last year, too, and, you know, he's just able to find areas to put the ball, and he's very smart about, you know, where the ball makes contact on the bat.
So here's Carter Young with 2 gone and Prado at first. Birds down 2-1. First pitch, swings and fouls it away. Third base side, it's 0-1.
I got to wonder how many times that glass at the high bar has been replaced.
Yeah, I mean, that's the danger zone up there on that sweet level. Consistently foul balls up on this level. 0-1, swing and a miss, it's 0-2. Well, DJ McCarty has kept the Ironbirds pretty off balance tonight. 4 strikeouts, so it's not like he's blowing guys away or missing bats that often, but he's done a nice job limiting damage, scattering the 6 hits. He's allowed just the 1 run. Came into this game with a 4.18 ERA, and that has gone down quite a bit. 0-2, that's low. Well, as a starter this season, McCarty had pitched to a 4.57 ERA. And opponents are hitting 253 against him, so opponents having a little bit more success seeing him as a starter versus as a reliever. Ironbirds looking for more. Prado takes off for second. Pitch misses low. It gets away from Moeller, but it scoots just up the first baseline. A stolen base for Elio Prado, and now the tying runs in second with 2 down. Prado doesn't go a ton, but he's picked his spots well this year. That's his 10th stolen bag in 14 tries. Seth, the last time the Ironbirds got a runner to second, they got him home. Can they do it again here?
Well, we certainly hope so.
Young foul tips one into the glove of Moeller, and the inning is over. So another strikeout for DJ McCarty, his 5th of the night, and he is through 6 strong innings, allowing just 1 run on those 6 hits. So the Birds go down quietly, no runs, no hits, no errors, 1 man left in scoring position. 6 innings in the books here in the Dean. We'll head to the top of the 7th after a quick break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network.
Does your local Harford, Cecil, or Baltimore County business want more customers? Advertise with the Ironbirds and take advantage of the best local entertainment venue in the area. Contact the Ironbirds at partners@goironbirds.com or call us at 410-297-9292 for more information. Join local companies like Leidos, Horizon Cinemas, The Olive Tree, and more by advertising with the Ironbirds. Every Sunday at the ballpark this season is Sunday Family Fun Day, presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Prior to the game, play catch on the field like the Ironbirds, starting at 1 p.m., and after the game, it's kids run the bases. Get a ticket to one of our remaining Sunday home games now at GoIronbirds.com. That's Sunday Family Fun Day, presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Red, White, and Boom is back for 2024. On Thursday, July 4th, Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium will host our annual Independence Day Family Festival with on-field games, live music, a kids zone, concessions, and fireworks at the end of the night.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office at tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585, and you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information.
2-1 Hickory over Aberdeen, top of the seventh inning. As the Birds look to keep this a one-run game, the Crawdads grabbed an early lead. They scored three batters into the game in the top of the first. The Birds tied it with two outs on Prado's RBI single in the third. And in the top of the sixth, Jason Morabell, a one-out solo homer to put the Crawdads back on top. And now here in the top of the seventh, another new arm for the Ironbirds. It's left-hander Davey Cruz, and he starts out designated hitter Quincy Scott with a strike. So it's Scott, Blackwell, and Ozuna. Now the 0-1 from the lanky lefty Cruz is in for another strike. It's 0-2, so coming out of the bullpen and pumping some cheddar. Looking for a three-pitch strikeout. Just four strikeouts combined between Johnson and Fyrovet. Neither team striking out much tonight. 0-2, popped up right side, out of play, foul. Well, Cruz has three pitches to work with, a four-seam fastball, a changeup, and a sweeper. And Seth, not much going on offensively for either team, and right now an opportunity for the Birds to just keep things where they are.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly what you want to do to get your bats, who have been pretty hot, to go. Nothing ran in yet, but certainly able to find their timing and place balls into the outfield, get people on the baseline.
Yeah, you know, just trying to get guys on base and timely hits, string them together. I mean, this feels like a game where the Ironbirds have some more damage to do at the plate.
Oh, for sure.
You know, just waiting to somebody starts off the inning with a walk or a single and a gapper, and you got a tie game. 0-2 pitch coming up from Cruz. Here it is, high and away. Scott is 0-2 with a strikeout and a ground out. Crawdads coming in playing some of their best baseball of the season. They've won five of their last six. 1-2 pitch. Liner to left center. Here comes Hodo. It's down in front of him. And he snags it over his head. High hop off the turf, but he did a nice job to keep that one in front of him. If that gets over his head, two, maybe three. But a leadoff single for Scott.
Great defensive play to limit the runner to one base.
I mentioned this Hickory team is playing some really good baseball right now. They just took 5 of 6 from Greenville. They took the first five games of that series before dropping the Sunday series finale 10-9. But they outscored the drive 34-10 in the first five games of the series. First pitch breaking ball in for a strike to Blackwell. It's 0-1. Birds down 2-1 top seven. Get this, Seth. The Crawdads had not won more than two straight games all season, and then they win five in a row last week.
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly hot right now, and they're looking to ride that coming into this series, you know, playing a very good Ironbirds team. And like you said, they were, what, 25 and 32
coming in.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's certainly a great point of the season, you know, in the early goings to get hot, take a couple of games, string together a couple of wins, and turn them into series wins.
Well, that's exactly what the Crawdads have done. The Birds looking to keep their winning streak going, looking to make it three in a row with a W tonight. 0-2 from Cruz, high and away. But that's just wild to me. You know, you can run into a three-game winning streak by accident.
Yes.
In baseball. I mean, that's how the sport goes. I mean, you can string together wins. Doesn't matter who you're playing, when you're playing them. But to go into early June with no more than two wins in a row at any point in the season, that's hard to do.
And, oh, yeah.
And then, of course, getting hot, winning five in a row. Go figure. 1-2 pitch from Cruz. Slider missed inside. And it's 2-2 on Blackwell. Scott's at first. He singled. A big insurance run out on the base path with no outs for the Dads. Well, Davy Cruz was ahead 0-2 on Scott before he gave up the hit. It's now 2-2 on Blackwell. Next pitch. Breaking ball popped up foul first base side. Count stays where it is. Well, Cruz has had a couple of tough outings over the last couple of weeks. He had been so good to start the season. Trying to get back in a groove. Out of the stretch. Glove at the belt. Long pause. High leg kick, 2-2. Called strike three on the inner half. A little bit of a late strike three call from Shea Graham, but Cruz and the Birds will take it. And that's the first out of the seventh.
It's an absolutely perfect throw and right in the zone. But like you said, a delayed strike call, and we'll get the Ironbirds one out closer to flipping the order.
So one out and a runner at first. Short lead for the runner Scott at first. Left on left for Cruz. He gets a swing and a miss on a slider. Ozuna came up empty. It's 0-1. Well, Davy Cruz has allowed 11 earned runs on 6 hits and 7 walks over his last 3 outings. It's been a rough go of it lately. But trying to put that in the past and throw up a zero here. And he's got a runner picked off at first. Nasty move, but he's called for a balk. Well, he had Scott picked off, and maybe that's why he had him picked off. He's called for the balk there, and that puts a runner at second with one out.
And that was a nasty throw, too, and is right on target. Just unfortunately stepped off, and balk is the ruling.
So the last 3 outings for Cruz, on May 31st at Hudson Valley, gave up 6 runs on 5 hits and 2/3 of an inning. Just got hit around. It happens. Didn't walk anybody. 2/3 of an inning scoreless on June 2nd at Hudson Valley, so he bounced back. But his last outing, 5 runs in an inning of work, gave up just 1 hit, but he walked 7. Just a really tough outing, and clearly it just wasn't working for him that day. It's an outlier performance. And now looking to get back on track. And the count is quickly 0-2 on Ozuna. Got another swing and a miss. So runner at second. That's a big insurance run. The Birds down 1 here in the away half of the seventh. Another long pause for Cruz. 0-2, low and away. Well, they're really trying to stay low and away from Ozuna.
Yeah, they know he's got pop when the ball is in the top half of the zone, so they're trying to make him swing down and chop down at the ball. Because that one's way outside. But going back to the pitching numbers, 15 pitches and 12 strikes, a very good ball to strike ratio.
Pitch missed outside. It's 2-2. Well, you talk about Ozuna's pop. He's in the leadoff spot, but he leads the team with 7 homers. He's driven in 16. You know, not a lot of RBIs because he's in that leadoff spot. Ozuna's got the average at 262, OPS up around 800. 2-2 pitch outside, and the count's full. So from 0-2 to 3-2. Cruz does not want to lose Ozuna here. Already has one runner on base. And Cauley, the right-handed batter, will have the handed advantage, and he's swinging a good bat. He's on deck. Vasquez keeping the runner close at second. He's going in and out towards that second base bag. 3-2, flip foul, third base side out of play. Cruz looking for that put-away pitch right there, and Seth, the slider is a wipeout pitch when it's on. We'll see if he goes back to that. First 2 swing and misses were on the slider. He's set once again on the hill. And the payoff pitch, outside, ball 4. So he did go with the slider, and he lost him. So from 0-2 to a walk, it's now first and second for Cam Cauley.
Cruz missing on the left side quite a bit on those 2 sliders.
I mean, this is a guy who doesn't walk many. And Jordy Henry, the Birds pitching coach, out for another chat. And so some numbers on Cruz. I mentioned he walked 7 in his last outing. And that's just a situation where, you know, you wonder, why was he out there that long? Well, the Iron Birds kind of short on pitching. Sometimes somebody just has to wear one a little bit for a team. And overall in the season, just 17 walks. So 10 walks in his first 17 outings and then 7 in his last one. I mean, just throw that away.
Yeah.
It's when you look at relievers' numbers, I mean, oftentimes you'll see one or two outlier games. I mean,
yeah.
That's one of them for sure.
It's one of those things in sports that just happens, and you just have to, you know, move on and focus on the next one, and that's what he's trying to do here.
Well, this is an Iron Birds team that has walked the most batters of any team in the South Atlantic League this year, but they're in the top 5 in strikeouts on the pitching side, and they don't give up a ton of extra base hits. They limit the long balls. Right now, Cruz just looking to bear down. First and second for the Dads with one down, already up one. First pitch missed just high due to the two-hole hitter, Cauley. It's 1-0. Well, it's important to remember that Graham Fireved, with two outs and no one on in the sixth, walked back-to-back hitters, but then picked up a strikeout to get out of it. So Cruz can absolutely do it. Would love a double play ball right here. How about a little 6-4-3 action, Seth?
Let's manifest it.
Well, I was telling you in between innings earlier in the game that, I mean, I wish I've kept track of how many times I've done it, but I've seemed to have been able to manifest a lot of big double play balls to help out this pitching staff.
And it would certainly be a huge, and I've said this time and time again throughout the game, but the momentum moving, you know, from getting a big double play on the defensive side to moving to the offensive side with the bats, it always helps, and they're looking to get some more momentum in their favor, especially down one.
2-0 from Cruz, nasty slider, a tight break and a late break in for a strike. It's 2-1. Did not want to go 3-0 there. Crawdads 2, Iron Birds 1, top of the 7th. Cauley, the 4th batter of the inning, as Cruz looks to lock it down. Preston Johnson went the first 4, gave up just 1 run. Fireved gave up 1 and 2. And now Cruz. The Iron Birds pitching staff that's a little depleted right now. It's been a tough last few weeks. 2-1 inside, it's 3-1. More bullpen action right now for the Birds as a right-hander's throwing. It's Bradley Brimmer. Birds, again, would love to get Cruz through this 7th and give Brimmer a fresh 8th. But right now, just looking for out number 2, not even worried about getting through the full inning. Cruz just solely focused on getting Cameron Cauley with the count 3-1. Long pause, a look at second. Now the pitch, low and inside, that's ball 4. And the bases are loaded for the Crawdads with only 1 out. Back-to-back walks. So far this inning, single strikeout, walk, walk. But Seth, the Iron Birds still have the force at any bag. They've got the force at the plate, of course. And of course they'll try to cut off this run.
They're probably going to throw something in the, not exactly a cookie, but throw something kind of up high for a fly ball.
Pop out, ground ball, strikeout. Any of those 3 would be huge. First pitch breaking ball in for a strike on Morabell. And it's 0-1. Birds down 2-1, top 7. Scott at 3rd, Ozuna at 2nd, and Cauley at 1st. Birds keep all 4 infielders back. They'll try to roll up a double play, and they won't try to cut off the run at the plate. 0-1, swing and a miss. Well, when you got a guy missing bats like that out on the mound, you don't need to bring the infield in. See if he goes back to that slide piece.
We've seen it multiple times tonight, but he's got this nasty slider.
Bases juiced for the Crawdads. Count is 0-2 on Morabell, who hit a go-ahead homer his last time up. 0-2, breaking ball flipped foul. So Cruz really trusting that slider. A majority of his pitches have been sliders. So the count's still 0-2. Morabell 3-for-3 with that homer and 2 singles. Short leads for all 3 Crawdads runners. And now here's the 0-2 from Davy Cruz, swinging a foul tip in and out of Willems' glove. Thought for a second he completely whiffed on that, but he got a piece.
And good job staying aggressive at the plate to stay in this at bat, as if he would have missed that, that would have 100% have been a strike, even if he took it.
So count still 0-2. Another left-handed hitter for Cruz to deal with. Big spot in the game. Next pitch, low and away. It scoots away from Willems, but not far enough for any of the runners to try to advance. So Scott stays put at third. Willems has done a really nice job navigating Johnson, Fyrovet, and Cruz through this game. I mean, Seth, it's only a 2-1 game. The last couple innings, it's almost felt like more runners have crossed the plate for Hickory, but great job by Fyrovet to limit damage, and now Cruz has an opportunity to do the same.
And we've certainly changed the pace of game. Where's the first?
1-2 on the outside corner, a called strike three. That is a massive strikeout for Davy Cruz, and it's the second out of the seventh.
See, I mean, that's just another big play right there with the bases loaded, ducks on the pond, and a hit to the outfield really could have been a huge
hit. Really could have broken this thing open.
It could have.
I mean, you talk about something to one of the gaps here, the power alleys. It might have cleared the bases. So two down, and the base is still loaded for Sebastian Walcott. 1-for-3 with a single and a couple of strikeouts. Way ahead of a changeup there, and he tips it into Willems' glove. Counts 0-1. So, I mean, for all that Cruz has been through this inning, throwing a lot of pitches, up over 30 now, he has a chance to get out of it with a scoreless frame. All four infielders back for the Birds. Outfield straight away. 0-1 in the dirt.
Runners getting jumpy on the pillows.
Well, the Crawdads have left 5 on base so far tonight. 3 out there now with 2 down. Right-handed hitter Walcott against the lefty Cruz. Another big spot for the 20-year-old southpaw. A ball and a strike, next pitch, a little bit high. I mean, there have been some pitches where he's missed way out of the zone. Others, they've been close. That one a little bit too high.
But he's
changing the eye level on these hitters.
He's been dancing around the outside of the strike zone all night long, and he's been found a lot of success doing so.
See what he comes with here on 2-1. Checks the runner at second, next pitch, low and in, ball 3. Well, now it gets a little dicey. It looks like Bradley Brimmer is warm out in the pen. He's not throwing right now. This might be the last batter for Cruz. He may get Meisas on deck, another left-handed hitter, but then it's a run of 4 straight righties after Meisas. Cruz hoping it doesn't get to him, and he steps off. I think that's a good step off right there to regroup before this big pitch.
It's probably one of the biggest pitches in the game so far, because even one could add some insurance for the Crawdads.
Birds down 2-1, top 7. Bases loaded with 2 down. Here's the 3-1 pitch. Breaking ball ripped foul down the third base line, and it's 3-2. Well, that's a big-time pitch there to come with something in the zone. He forced Walcott to hack at it, fouled it off. And now with 3 balls and 2 strikes on Walcott with 2 down, all 3 runners will be off on the pitch. And this is where a gapper or something down the line could clear the bases. Biggest pitch of the night for Davy Cruz. Runners go, the payoff pitch. Swing and a miss, he got him. Davy Cruz tight ropes out of danger and throws up a 0. He threw almost 40 pitches in the top of the 7th, but he strands the bases loaded, he strikes out the side, and he helps his team back into the dugout with this still a 1-run game. Biggest pitch of the night, biggest out of the night. Time to stretch here in the Dean. We'll go to the bottom of the 7th after this on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB.
Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office@tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585, and you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information.
Bottom of the seventh inning here in Aberdeen. Michael Mark Cantonini and Seth Chasen with you on the call. Crawdads lead it 2-1 over the Ironbirds in game one of this six-game series, but the Birds have kept it close all night. Their only run came with two outs in the third. But Seth, how about the job from Davey Cruz? Strikes out the side, tight-roped out of danger, stranded the bases loaded in the top of the seventh inning. And no pitch bigger than the 3-2 pitch that he got the strikeout on to end the top of the inning.
Yeah, I mean, he had a rough way of, the start of that inning. Obviously, bases loaded, one single, two walks. Not the position you want to be in, especially down one. And he certainly did come up clutch in that last at-bat. The second strike was a pitch inside the zone, fouled off to the left, and a big swing and miss to close out the away half of the seventh, and puts Aberdeen in a great spot with a bunch of momentum coming into this inning.
Now, we've been talking about momentum all night, and right now, I mean, the Ironbirds have as much momentum as they've had throughout the entire game. I mentioned just the one run. They have six hits, but they haven't gotten that big hit, that gapper, that homer. You know, the three singles to load the bases in the third. Or in the second, they got a run in the third, but still waiting on a couple big blows here.
And it's going to, I feel like this inning is going to be the one where we're going to see that hit.
Birds down 2-1, Hodo Vasquez and Costas do up, and Hodo swings at the first pitch. It ricocheted off of the pitcher McCarty's leg, rolls into foul ground, and Hodo's on with an infield base hit. Well, and really nothing the Crawdads could do about it. A one-hopper off of McCarty's leg, and then as it trickled into foul ground, I mean, no chance to get Hodo.
Yeah. And now McCarty, it's his sixth inning of work.
Well, now they're going to check on him. Chad Comer, the Crawdads manager, as well as the team's head athletic trainer, out to check on DJ McCarty, who's through six innings of one-run ball. A season-high six frames for him. He's been really good. I mean, you can definitely argue this is his best outing of the season.
And you certainly don't want it to end off a dipsy doodle, you know, ball right off the inside of the leg, and looks like he's okay.
Yeah, I mean, 65 pitches through six innings. He just threw his 66th. I mean, he has been so efficient. So an injury timeout out on the field. Birds down 2-1, bottom of the seventh. An old-fashioned pitcher's duel, Seth, and I mean, that's just good baseball. I mean, both pitching staffs getting the job done. Defensively, we've seen both teams lock it down. Neither team has made an error. Big pitches in big spots, no bigger than what Davey Cruz did to finish off the top of the seventh as McCarty gets a couple of warm-up tosses to see if he can keep going. But we've talked about it, Seth. I mean, it just feels like the Ironbirds are going to cash in.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said at the beginning of the inning, this is probably going to be the inning where we see the Ironbirds start to lock in a little bit. We've seen them get on base. We've seen them have a lot of great hits and great opportunities, just unable to come away with a lot of those opportunities. Now the pitching change, but I mean, they've been playing close baseball. A lot of people love to see the high scoring affairs, but for us commentators, sometimes it makes it a little bit easier to watch a pitcher's duel.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great point. I mean, It's fun calling a game like this. It's just good baseball. Well, we've got a pitching change here in Aberdeen. Douglas Hodo ripped the first pitch of the bottom of the seventh back at DJ McCarty on the mound. It ricocheted off of his leg, went into foul ground. Hodo's safe, and he is aboard as the tying run. We've got a pitching change here in the Dean. We'll tell you more about the new arm when we come back. Line is not closed on McCarty. He's responsible for that runner at first, but we will regroup after a quick break. 2-1, Birds trailing, but threatening, and they've got some momentum. Keep it locked on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Pitching change here in Aberdeen. Bottom of the seventh inning, right-hander Jacob Maytone is the new arm for the Birds. Tying run at first, go-ahead run at the plate in the form of Jalen Vasquez. Swings and misses at the first pitch he sees from Maytone. And the count is 0-1. Birds trail the Crawdads 2-1, bottom of the seventh, as they look to get some runs against the Crawdads bullpen. DJ McCarty done after 6+. His line is not closed. He's responsible for Hodo out at first. Hodo takes off for second. Vasquez takes inside. Throw down is high and late. It sails into center. Hodo's up and heading for third. Here's the throw to third. The tag. And he's off the bag. He slid off the bag, and he's out at third. Wow. What a sequence, Seth. The Ironbirds had the go-ahead run to second. Or excuse me, the tying run to second with no outs. But Hodo, an aggressive attempt to get to third, and he is thrown out. The base umpire, Christian Argueza, said he was off the bag, and just like that, one out, no one on.
Yeah, that was certainly a very close call. And, you know, from up here, you know, we don't make the rules down there, but looked a little close and unfortunately was the right call.
And to be honest, I thought, if anything, he was out before he got to the base, not sliding off the base, because I thought he held the base once he got there. But no argument from the Ironbirds. And just like that, the tying run no longer in scoring position. And one out, no one on. Counts 1-2 on Vasquez. Next pitch, low and in. Well, I mean, that's baseball for you. The game changes that quickly. See what Vasquez can do with the bat. He is 1-for-2 with a single and a strikeout tonight. So DJ McCarty's line is now officially closed now that Hodo's off the base paths. 2-2, that's low. So final line for McCarty, gave up one run. It was earned on 7 hits in 6+ innings. He pitched into the 7th. 5 strikeouts, no walks, 1 hit by pitch. 66 pitches, 46 strikes. And now Jacob Maytone. Pitch fouled back, and the count stays at 3-2. Well, Maytone is... he comes from a family tree of baseball players. I mean, both of his brothers have made it to the big leagues. Nick Maytone, who's in the Orioles organization, rehabbed with the Ironbirds a few weeks ago. And Phil Maytone, a pitcher for the Houston Astros. I mean, that's just good family genes. You got three brothers all in professional baseball. Two of been in the big leagues. One has a World Series ring. The other played in a World Series. I mean, that's pretty special.
Yeah, it's certainly something that, you know, it's certainly bragging rights for mom and dad.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Talking about all your kids. What does your son do? Oh, he's in the big leagues. What does your son do? Oh, he's in the big leagues. The other one. Oh, he's in the minors. Fly ball to center. It's down for a base hit. And it's first and second. So a walk and a single. The Ironbirds' first three batters of the inning have reached, but Hodo was thrown out trying to get to third on a throw into center field after he stole second. But now the tying run's at second and the go-ahead run's at first, so Vasquez and Costas doing a job. Well, on the first couple references, I said Jacob Maton because that's what it says on the Crawdad's pronunciation guide, but it's Maton. He's part of the Maton family, Phil and Nick, his brothers, also in professional baseball. First pitch to Noelbert Romero is fouled back, and the count is 0-1. Native of Springfield, Illinois, 39th round pick of the Mariners back in 2018 out of Coastal Carolina.
Producing a lot of good talent out of Coastal Carolina as well. Great baseball school.
2016 College World Series champion, Coastal Carolina, that is. 0-1 pitch, swing and a miss. Romero went down and came up empty. The Birds trail 2-1. Here in the home half of the seventh. Hodo singled to start the inning, then a pitching change. Stole second, throw went into center. And an outfield assist from Gutierrez over to Blackwell at third to get Hodo. And Vasquez walked and Costas singled. And Jacob Maton now on the mound for the Crawdads. And he picks up a big strikeout there as Romero went down and came up empty on a breaking ball, and that is the second out of the seventh. Looks like that might be it for Maton. Well, he's faced three batters. So if they want to make a change, they can. And it looks like they're going to do it. Well, the entire Crawdads infield gathering on the mound. I mean, just the body language of this mound visit, you kind of got the vibe that was it from Maton. A couple of claps from Chad Comer coming out, but he's staying in there.
Probably just something to settle him down a little bit. You know, got that big strikeout with two men on, two away. Kind of slow down the pace a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, normally when you see somebody go to the mound, a couple of claps. I'm thinking, all right, that's it for the guy out there. But Maton stays in first and second with two down for Enrique Bradfield Jr. Back to the top of the order. Bradfield takes a ball outside, counts 1-0. Vasquez is the tying run at second. He has excellent speed. I mean, anything to the outfield, he's scoring for sure with two down. And then Costas is at first. He runs well. Not necessarily a speed guy, but he runs the base as well. 1-0. Bradfield takes low. It's a good take right there. 2-0. Birds out hitting the Crawdads 8-6 in this one, but just the one run home.
That last pitch just barely missing the strike zone, probably about by an inch or two.
2-0. Bradfield takes a big hack and fouls one away. So the count's 2-1. I mentioned earlier, Bradfield's driven in 8 over his last 15, batting average over .280 in that span. We know he can make things happen with the bat. Healthy leads at second and first for both runners. 2-1, strike on the outer half, 2-2. Crawdads took an early lead, three batters into the game they scored. The Ironbirds tied it on Prado's RBI single in the third. The Crawdads regain the lead on Morabell's solo shot to right in the sixth. That's it tonight. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Next pitch, Bradfield fouls one back up around the broadcast booth, and Seth, it's time to get the glove back on.
Yeah.
Got to have it. Absolutely got to have it.
I thought that one was coming in here, too.
I'm ready, Enrique. So two balls, two strikes, two outs, as the Birds look to not only tie this thing up but potentially take the lead. Bradfield ready to rock, so is Maton. Next pitch, Bradfield chops one to first. Going to be a foot race to the bag. Bradfield sprinting, and Maton just beats him there. So a 1-3 putout ends the threat. So no runs on two hits, no errors, two men left on through seven full. The Crawdads still lead it 2-1, and the threat is over. We'll go to the top of the eighth, see if the Birds can keep it where it is after this message on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Along to the top of the eighth inning here in Aberdeen. Game one of a six-game series between the Birds and the Dads. First opponent from the South Division that the Ironbirds are facing this season. And we've got a good one. Bradley Brimmer is the new arm for the Ironbirds. And the first pitch of the eighth is sent to deep left center. And Hodo makes the grab. So Luis Miesis retired on one pitch. Good start to Brimmer's night. And that brings up the catcher Ian Moeller. Well, the Ironbirds are looking for another shutdown frame, trying to keep this game 2-1 going into the home half of the eighth. Birds threaten, put two runners on with two outs in the bottom of the seventh, but couldn't get the tying run home. Go-ahead run stranded as well. First pitch strike to Ian Moeller, who is 0-for-1 with a couple of walks tonight. Bradley Brimmer has been really good for the Ironbirds tonight. He is the fourth pitcher of the night for Felipe Alou's squad. Preston Johnson went the first four, Graham Fyrovid two in relief, then Davey Cruz a scoreless inning. Threw almost 40 pitches to do it, but he got through it. And now Bradley Brimmer. Next one, fouled back, it's 0-2. So Brimmer again, like Fyrovid and Cruz to start their outings, coming out of the pen firing strikes. Now, of course, both ended up walking multiple batters, but Seth, they came out of the bullpen throwing strikes, and that's what Brimmer's doing.
Yeah, I mean, he's been consistent all night, and this pitching staff has got a lot to be happy about. I mean, obviously, the score doesn't reflect it, but the guys have been firing complete gas and been very accurate and economical with their pitches.
1-2 pitch, got him. Good pitch down in the zone, a strikeout for Brimmer, two up, two down, and that is the ninth strikeout overall for the Ironbirds pitching staff. Eight. I counted wrong. It's tough. You got to count on the fly. You got to add up the strikeouts in the scorebook. That's number eight. Two gone, and no one on. That brings up Anthony Gutierrez. Birds down a run. 2-1 Hickory, top eight. Gutierrez hitless tonight. First pitch, breaking ball outside. Brimmer has a two-seam fastball, a splitter, a curveball, and a sweeper. So he's got three nasty off-speed pitches that all break in different directions. 1-0, fouled back, it's 1-1. Well, Seth, all you can ask for from the pitching staff is limit damage, keep you in the game. And that's exactly what these four pitchers have done tonight. To hold Hickory to just two runs on six hits, work around the walks, they've stranded eight on base.
I mean,
one swing and a miss.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask for a better task and better completion of said task. You know, obviously last inning was a little bit rough on the away side, but certainly found a way to limit any damage and not allow any runners across the home dish.
Man, that was huge as that pitch misses upstairs, counts 2-2. And for Davey Cruz to work himself into the jam but then get himself out of it, bases loaded, had to come with a 3-2 pitch with the runners on the move with two down and executed. 2-2, just missed, counts full. Brimmer has really good numbers this year, 2.45 ERA and 14 relief appearances. 25 and two-thirds innings of work, 32 strikeouts coming in. He's added a 33rd tonight. And opponents are hitting just 213 against him. 3-2. Called strike three. Breaking ball dropped it in at the bottom of the zone. And it's back-to-back strikeouts for Bradley Brimmer in a 1-2-3 eighth. Well, he does his job, keeps it a one-run game. And we will go to the home half of the eighth inning and see if the Birds can tie this thing up or even take the lead. Stick with us on the broadcast. Go to the home eighth after these messages on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Hickory 2, Aberdeen 1, bottom of the eighth inning. Birds with six outs to play with. They need one to tie, two to take the lead as they try to get something going against this Hickory bullpen. DJ McCarty went the first six-plus, gave up just one run. And then Jacob Maton got all three outs of the seventh. And here we are, Maton back out there for the eighth. Tavian Josenberger leads off, and he drives one to deep right field. Morabell going back, and he'll just turn and watch it fly. A solo shot for Tavian Josenberger, and we are knotted up at two here in the bottom of the eighth.
And what a way to start that inning off by hitting one, a long ball out to right field and again over that APG FCU barn.
Fire me up. Josenberger goes deep to knot this thing at two. That one sailed into the Ironbirds bullpen, just got enough on it. And now Elio Prado, who drove in the Ironbirds' first run of the night, looking to keep it going. Josenberger got a pitch he could drive up in the zone, didn't miss it. And just like that, we are tied. Now, Prado swings at the first pitch and grounds one to third. Blackwell has it over to first, and that's one out. But what a start to the eighth inning, Seth. I mean, we've talked about it all night. I mean, we knew the Ironbirds weren't done. We knew that, you know, it was only a matter of time before that big blast happened, whether it was a homer or a gapper or a couple extra base hits in a row to get things going. Tavian Josenberger taking care of business right there.
Yeah, I mean, what a way to start the inning and really get the bullpen fired up and the dugouts fired up.
Third homer of the year for Josenberger. He's up to 22 ribbies. This is why this guy hits towards the top of the lineup, because he can really start it up. Willem swings over a breaking ball. Count is 0-2 with one out here in the eighth. But all of a sudden, we're tied. Birds have not led tonight. But it doesn't matter how long you lead for, as long as you're winning when the game ends.
Yes.
0-2 pitch coming up. Here it is. Willems tried to check. Appeal down to first. He went around. Well, Christian Argaza, the base umpire, said Willems went. So a strikeout for Maton. And that brings up Carter Young with two gone and the bases empty. Well, I mean, I think we've got to give credit where credit's due. How about the four arms that have thrown for the Ironbirds so far tonight? Johnson, Fireved, Cruz, and Brimmer to combine to allow just two runs on six hits through eight innings. I mean, that's why we're tied right now, because they kept it where it was.
Yeah, I think that coming in was the key of the game. And we know that the Crawdads can hit, and we know that they can work themselves, you know, throughout a at-bat. And they really stayed consistent and really worked through the hard times, and that's why we have a tie game at two.
2-2, bottom eight. Tavian Josenberger, a leadoff homer here in the eighth, to pull even. Now Young sends one off the end of the bat into shallow center. Here comes Gutierrez, and he makes the grab around the knees, and the inning is over. Well, Maton did a nice job to get the next three in order after he allowed the game-tying homer to Josenberger. But we are tied on Josenberger's third long ball of the season. We'll head to the top of the ninth with the game 2-2. We've got a good one here in the series opener. Brimmer back to work, trying to throw up a zero and give the Birds a chance to win into the ninth. Top nine next on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the ninth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Ironbirds 2, Crawdads 2. We've got a really good one here in the series opener between the Birds and the Dads. If this is any indication of what we're going to see the rest of the week, I mean, we're in for an excellent week of baseball. But Tavian Josenberger ambushed the first pitch up in the zone in the bottom of the eighth inning. He took it deep to right. It landed in the Ironbirds bullpen. And because of that, we are tied at 2 as we open up play in the top of the ninth inning. Third long ball of the season for Josenberger. Birds were down to their final six outs, and Josenberger tied this thing up in a hurry. Now Brimmer to keep things tied in the ninth. First pitch strike, and it's 0-1 on the eight-hole hitter Quincy Scott. Scott, Blackwell, and Ozuna as the Birds try to keep it a 2-2 game and then walk it off. Counts 0-1 as Brimmer dictates the pace. Next pitch, a little bit low, appeal, no swing. It's 1-1. Four Ironbirds pitchers have held the Crawdads to just two runs tonight, and they've stranded eight. Crawdads have had plenty of opportunities all night, traffic on the bases consistently, but they've left eight on, including leaving the bases loaded in the seventh when they had Davy Cruz on the ropes. Counts 1-2. And the next pitch from Brimmer to Scott, a little bit low. It's 2-2. Total team effort to get to this point, Seth.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it again, we talked about this all night, but the defense making sure they're locked down, making sure the offense is firing at all cylinders, and that's a big reason why we're tied up.
Players. Three balls and two strikes now on the leadoff man, Scott. Want to keep him off base. Misses outside. Well, Brimmer unable to keep him off base. And Scott is on for the second time tonight. He singled his last time up. So that puts the go-ahead run on base for Ben Blackwell, the third baseman and nine-hole hitter for this Crawdads team. The Crawdads jumped out to an early lead. They scored the game's first run three batters into the game. The Birds tied it in the bottom of the third. Elio Prado, an RBI single to right. The Crawdads took the lead in the top of the sixth. And then the Ironbirds, two innings later, tying things up at two on Josenberger's leadoff homer to right. So now in the top of the ninth. One on and no outs for the nine-hole hitter Blackwell. Big hole on the right side for him as Romero, the second baseman, pinches towards that second base bag. First pitch, bunt shown. Snap throw to first, runner back. Pitch was low and outside, taken for a ball. Blackwell is hitless tonight in three trips to the plate. Brimmer has his sign. 1-0 fastball missed just a little bit high. Looked pretty good there.
It was really close and kind of could have gone either way.
So the count now 2-0 on the 9-hole. Hitter Blackwell. Young, the third baseman, hugging the line. Pitch outside, called a strike. Good one there. So you've got Young playing towards that line, less than a body length away from it. A couple steps behind the bag depth-wise. Vasquez shading up the middle a little bit. He's deep. Romero shading up the middle deep at second. And Costas holding on the runner at first. Outfielders straight away move over to first. That was a pretty good move there from Brimmer. It was close. But the runner's back.
It just barely missed him on that one.
In case you're wondering if Scott at first is a stolen base threat, he's 3-for-6 in attempted stolen bases this season. So not a great success rate. Only 3 successful attempts this year. I don't know that they're going to put him in motion here. Last pitch was called a strike on the inside half to Blackwell. He didn't like the call. It looked a little bit inside, but the Birds got the call. It's 2-2.
You'll take that every day of the week.
Especially in this situation, tie game. Strikeout would be huge. Double play ball would be even bigger. 2-2 just got a piece. Looked like that one got a piece of Willems. The home plate umpire, Shea Graham, will give him an extra second to shake that one off. I mean, we said it from the seventh inning on. It seemed like 3 or 4 times in that inning we said biggest pitch of the game. I mean, now in a tie game in the ninth, it seems like every pitch is going to be the next biggest pitch of the game. 2-2 from Brimmer. Here it is. Ground ball to the right side, past the diving Romero into right field. Big turnaround, second. Scott's heading for third. Here's the throw. It's a little bit offline, and he stayed on the bag. So first and third for the Crawdads on a walk and a single here in the top of the ninth. And now the go-ahead runner is just 90 feet away with leadoff man Ozuna due up. Well, that's not ideal, and Seth, that ball's not scorched off the bat, but Romero's shading up the middle for the double play. And because of that, that one gets past him for a base hit into right. I mean, it's a game of inches at times.
I mean, an absolute laser from right field to get it to the third base just to kind of cut the run off and limit any further damage.
Next pitch, flip foul behind home plate, a little bit off to the third base side. Count is 0-1 on Ozuna, who is 0-for-3 with a walk at the top of the order.
Might be time to bring back the glove.
I was thinking the same thing, Seth. You know, we are in sync tonight. We're on the same wavelength.
The thing I would like about Harford is we're not as high up, and the backstop is like probably 10 or so feet, maybe 5 feet above the score box, so we don't really get hit with anything.
Counts 0-2 on Ozuna, who just fouled another one off. Scott at third, he walked. Blackwell at first, he singled. Still no outs, top nine. Birds looking to hold this 2-2 tie. Infield's halfway as Ozuna spoils another breaking ball foul down the left field line. Costas holding on the runner at first. Romero and Vasquez up the middle are about halfway. And then Young, even with the bag at third, he's close to that third base bag as well. 0-2. Fouled behind home plate into the netting. You didn't see me flinch there.
No. I didn't see it coming at first. Saw it hit off the top of the wire there. I'm like, uh-oh.
Fouled in our general direction.
Yes.
And you know that's going to cause a flinch. Still no balls and two strikes on Ozuna. Next pitch, fly ball to deep left center field. This ball is absolutely crushed, and it sails off the top of the wall. One run is in. Here comes the, they hold the runner at third. So just the go-ahead run in, but it's second and third now on the RBI double from Alejandro Ozuna.
It's an absolutely beautiful hit there, and just lucky. I mean, just a foot or so higher, that would have been gone.
Well, the Ironbirds catch a break for sure as that ball stayed in the yard. And now Jordy Henry out to chat with Bradley Brimmer. So the first three on base to start the Nines for the Crawdads. Scott, who just scored, walked, went first to third on Blackwell's single. And he scored easily from third on that drive off the left center field wall. Now, Blackwell only went first to third. He had to see if that ball was going to get caught or not. And it's tough to see out there where that ball hit. It kind of hit on the white part of that Royal Farm sign in deep left center at the very top. Very hard to see. If we didn't hear the ball ricochet off the wall, I mean, wouldn't have known until somebody picked it up that it stayed in. So now second and third as Ozuna drives in the go-ahead run with a double. And the line keeps moving for Cam Cauley. So, I mean, the Crawdads could really break this open going to the bottom of the ninth. But the Ironbirds, hey, I mean, if they keep it at one run, even if it's two runs going into the bottom of the ninth, I mean, the Ironbirds can erase that quickly.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we've seen it time and time again that they can get guys on the base path. They just need to capitalize on those at-bats with runners in scoring position. And they've been good with that all season long, but here they've struggled a little bit.
Cauley swings and misses at a pitch up and in, counts 0-1. Infield in all the way around for the Ironbirds. Well, Ozuna just hit one as far as you can hit it in this ballpark and not have it go out. RBI double to give the Crawdads another lead. Next pitch called a strike, 0-2. Well, Tavian Josenberger tied it with a leadoff homer on the first pitch he saw in the bottom of the eighth. The Crawdads right back at it with a run in the ninth.
The Aberdeens still looking for their first lead of the game.
Second and third with no outs. Infield remains in. Brimmer worked a 1-2-3 eighth with two strikeouts, but he's dealing with some trouble here in the ninth. 0-2. Chopper out to second. Romero backhands. It looks the runner back to third. Over to first. There's out number one.
Yeah, the right play there to get the runner out at first is both runners on the pillows wanted to move forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's a situation where with no outs, second and third, you almost had to have that first out come without the runner from third scoring, and they got it. Right-hander Cody Scroggins warming up in the Ironbirds bullpen. So that brings up Sebastian Walcott as Morabell just grounded out for out number one. Chopper to the left side, and it gets under Young's glove, and it trickles out to short. Another run is in. So after the intentional walk to Morabell, Walcott brings home another with the ground. I mean, that's a smart decision to walk Morabell. 3-for-3 with a homer. You set up the force at the plate. And that one just snuck under Young's glove. And it's now 4-2 Crawdads.
Yeah, tough break there and just couldn't get a grip on it. If he got a grip on it, it would have been certainly an out at first. They probably could have tried for the double play, but no good.
So that insurance run huge for the Crawdads. Bases remain loaded for Luis Mieses. And Luis rips one into left center. Bradfield's there. He makes the catch. Here's the throw. It goes into third, so another run in for the Crawdads as Ozuna comes in to score. It's now 5-2. So Blackwell scored on the grounder to third, and now Ozuna in on the sack fly. Birds have some work to do once they get to the bottom of the ninth.
Late rally here from the Crawdads, and just three big at-bats for them.
And really what it comes down to is, okay, you allow the go-ahead run to score. You just want to limit the damage. And, you know, they get that first out, and then you intentional walk to set up the double play, get a ground ball, but since two runners in to score to help pad the Crawdads' lead. So it's 5-2 Hickory. And that brings up Ian Muller, the eighth man to bat in the inning. In the bottom of the ninth, the Birds will send up Hodo, Vasquez, and Costas, 6-7-8. It's the bottom of the order, but guys who have produced. Next pitch from Brimmer, a little bit low and away, counts 1-1. Moeller's reached safe twice tonight. Couple of walks and four trips to the plate. He struck out swinging back in the eighth. So Morabell out at second. He was intentionally walked. And Walcott over at first. He reached on that ground ball to third that went as an error on Carter Young. It's the first error for either team tonight. It's been a really clean game on both sides.
And not something you see often either.
2-1, half-hearted check swing, but he went around. Pitch might have been called to strike anyway, regardless of the swing. It's 2-2. Well, the Birds will need at least three in the ninth. Three to tie, four to win as it stands right now.
But certainly something that these guys can do. We've seen it happen before.
Pitch misses low and away. Count's full. So now with the count full and two down, runners at first and second will both get a head start. Ironbirds are still out hitting the crawdads, but of course the run column's what matters. Both runners go. 3-2, fouled off. Well, in games where the Ironbirds are tied after eight innings, it's happened just three times this year. The Ironbirds are 1-2 in those games. That was the situation tonight. Tied after eight, but trailing going into the bottom of the ninth. Both runners go again. 3-2, called strike three on the outer half. Well, Moeller knew it. And the inning finally comes to an end. The Crawdads strike for three to take the lead. They sent eight to the plate. And we will head to the bottom of the ninth. With the Birds needing to get the bats going, Birds down to their final three outs, needing three runs to keep it going. Keep it locked on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Birds trail the Dads 5-2, bottom of the ninth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Mark Cantonini and Seth Chasen with you on the call tonight. Game one of a six-game series between the Birds and the Crawdads. And the Birds have some work to do with the bats. Hodo, Vasquez, and Costas do up. Birds need three to keep it going. Hodo shows bunt, but pulls back, takes inside. Counts 1-0. Well, Seth, we know this team can do it, but it starts with getting that leadoff man on.
Oh, for sure, and we've seen how good they are with, you know, station-to-station work.
Chopper to short, picked by Walcott. Strong throw across the diamond. That was smooth. Two pitches, one out here in the ninth. New pitcher for Hickory is right-hander Skylar Hales. Just the third arm for Hickory tonight. DJ McCarty went 6+. He threw one pitch into the seventh before Chad Comer went to his bullpen. Jacob Maton, two innings of one-run ball. He's credited with a blown save as Josenberger hit the tying homer in the eighth, but Three runs for Hickory in the top of the ninth, and that's the difference right now. Vasquez swings and misses at a fastball. It's 0-1.
Going back to that last play, I mean, that ball was the ball was in the glove about two paces before the runner made the bag.
So no balls and two strikes on Vasquez. 16 appearances out of the bullpen for Hales tonight. 5.16 ERA. 22 years old out of Santa Clara. Rangers' fourth-round pick last year. He's originally from Reno, Nevada. As Vasquez sends one off the end of the bat into the press box off to our right. And that was a hot shot.
Yeah.
I mean, Seth, that one was a little bit closer to you than me. But, I mean, that's one that'll make you flinch.
That was certainly scary when we heard it ricochet off something out
there. Everybody's okay in the press box. I just got word that everybody's all good.
Heard that through the headset.
That's a hot shot. That's one where you just get out of the way. 1-2, flicked foul again, and Vasquez hanging tough. That's one where you protect the laptops, any equipment, and then you just get out of the way.
Equipment comes first.
100%. Ball and two strikes on Vasquez. Next pitch, downstairs, counts 2-2.
So great at bat here. Staying aggressive, fighting off balls that are in the strike zone, but great take there for ball two.
Next pitch outside, that's ball three. So from 0-2 to full. Hales has not allowed a run in three of his last four outings. Last pitched on June 8th at home against Greenville. Pitched twice in that series. Two-strike pitch. Called strike three on the outer half. Vasquez thought it was ball four. He's pleading his case. I mean, that pitch looked like it was outside, Seth. Vasquez tossed his bat aside as if it was ball four, and, hey, I'm with him there.
Yeah, we'll see on the MILB website what that pitch comes out to be, but certainly a close call. That's why we're up here.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough right there. I mean, the Ironbirds are just looking for base runners. Vasquez knows the strike zone. As Costas chops one behind the second base bag, Cauley backhands it, throws to first, and that'll do it. A 1-2-3 ninth inning for Skyler Hales. He finishes off a series-opening W for the Crawdads. Well, Seth, that's a tough one. The Ironbirds were in it the entire way. They never led in the game, but they tied it in the third. They tied it in the eighth. And then the three runs for Hickory in the top of the ninth proved to be the difference.
Yeah, I mean, going into these next games, you got to take what you learned here. You know what they're going, not going to allow a lot of balls to drop into the outfield. Try, you know, there's not much you can do in that regard, but just kind of work around that, work station to station, get runners on the base paths, and good things will happen when you do so.
Tough loss for the Ironbirds for sure. We'll get you some final totals in a minute, but Seth, let's talk about this one. Not a lot of runs. The Ironbirds only pushed across the two runs. They did have nine hits. I mean, they had their chances, of course, working a few walks here and there, but eventually falling short. But Elio Prado, who had been struggling a little bit, comes up with a big knock to tie it with an RBI single in the third. Birds stole a couple bags to help get guys in scoring position, throughout the first few innings. Tavian Josenberger hit his third homer of the year in the bottom of the eighth to tie it. And then, you know, a tough night for Bradley Brimmer in that ninth inning, gave up those three runs. But really, four arms for the Ironbirds pitched really well. Johnson, Fireved, Cruz, and Brimmer. So, I mean, they kept them in the game all night.
Yeah, I mean, everyone played really well. It was just, you know, not able to get runners past third base and, you know, led in the hit department by one hit. And, you know, like you said, the run department is where, you know, where it counts.
Yeah.
And they weren't able to come up in that regard, but you know, not really anything you can hang your head on, and just, you know, move into the next game. You got five more on tap and try to nab some of these other games.
So we'll get you some final totals in this one. With the loss, the Ironbirds dropped to 29-29. With the win, the Crawdads improved to 26-32. Five runs on eight hits, no errors for Hickory. Two runs on nine hits, one error for Aberdeen. Jacob Maton, despite the blown save, picks up the win. He moves to 1-2 on the year. Bradley Brimmer drops to 1-3 with the loss. Skyler Hales picks up his fifth save of the season. Game was played in 2 hours and 35 minutes in front of 949 fans here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Well, the Birds tied it in the bottom of the eighth. They gave up three in the ninth, and they went down 1-2-3 in the home ninth. So a series opening loss. It ends the Ironbirds' small winning streak. It was two in a row. They were looking to get it to three in a row, but the Crawdads playing some of their best baseball of the year, their best baseball of the year, not even some of their best. They've won six of their last seven. I mean, just running into a hot team at the wrong time, but Seth, an opportunity tomorrow in game two of this series to get back in the win column. And, you know, hey, five more games the rest of this week. The Ironbirds could take all five. We've seen them do it. They've taken five of six twice in a series so far this year.
And those numbers will certainly work in your favor. And, you know, with the Crawdads being a hot team right now, you know, there's, you know, you got to stop their momentum. And again, we talk about momentum all night long. And it's just, again, it's a game of momentum. And the Ironbirds will look to do battle tomorrow.
Well, Seth, it's been great having you back on the broadcast with me tonight. And, you know, you were with me twice last year. Thought you were going to get another walk-off win tonight. You had one last year. But really appreciate you joining me, man. And, you know, overall, you know, it's always fun to bring another broadcaster on air with me. It's not just somebody working in the media. I've got another broadcaster on air. So how did it feel to get back in the booth tonight?
It was so much fun, you know, not only being able to watch the game, but to be able to kind of pick up on some new lingo and you know, see how you broadcast a game and kind of maybe use some of those, you know, those tips and tricks and use it in my own games.
Right, because, you know, you're calling a bunch of different sports. You've done a ton of lacrosse, a few others, but, you know, like you've said in the past, baseball's not necessarily your number one sport. You know, you're a hockey guy, you know, lacrosse, things like that. But, you know, it's always good to show off the versatility. I mean, you know, for me, I call games in other sports, but baseball's my number one. So, I mean, it's always good to pick up on stuff. So, Seth, my guy, appreciate you joining me on the broadcast. Seth Chasen from Harford Community College Athletics. You can catch his broadcasts over there at Harford CC, and also does a radio show, Night Owls. Great program. I've been on it. It's
yes, you have.
Fun. But Seth, a pleasure as always. That'll do it here tonight in Aberdeen. Thanks for coming on, my man.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man.
For our outstanding broadcast crew here in Aberdeen and my guest color commentator tonight, Seth Chasen, my name is Michael Marcantonini. Tough 5-2 loss for the Birds tonight, but we are back at it tomorrow. 7:05 first pitch, air show starting at 6:40. I'll talk to you then. Ironbirds fans, have a great rest of your night. Thanks for flying with me.